go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey, yo, I'm Addy.
Hey, yo, I'm drinking a beer, so don't talk to me.
Okay, well, I won't talk to you, but we do have to talk some wrestling because, fucked, a lot happened this week.
Yeah?
There was a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
The Ryback was over.
Ryback was over? You know why Ryback was over? It's proof that WWE listens to this show. Ryback now has your nickname.
Oh. The Big Hungry?
The Big Hungry.
Jesus. You know what? It's funny because,
Ryback, Moe's nickname. Wrote it down. wrote that down on Monday.
It's funny because, you know, Bubba Lovesong says your big name. The world's biggest asshole.
Really? Bubba the Love Sponge. Do you really think Bubba the Love Sponge? Well, I mean, this neither confirms nor denies Bubba the Love Sponge being the world's biggest asshole, because we can talk about it right now if we want.
No.
We'll talk about it later.
Let's talk about Raw.
Raw was war. Actually, Raw was...
It was good.
It was okay.
I
don't want to say the problem I had with Raw, but so much happened on Raw. Let's start from the top. Last week, we talked about 2.5 rating, lowest 15-year non-holiday rating. That resulted in last Friday, the day after we recorded the show, Brian Gewirtz being released from his duties as creative team member. He's still with the company.
Brian Gewirtz, douche or no douche?
Huge douche. Huge douche. He is the there's two reasons that he is still employed with the company.
Mm-hmm.
One is that he has a big buyout. He has a big contract, so it will cost him a lot of money.
Golden parachute.
Yeah, golden parachute, yeah. The second is The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's The Rock's writer, essentially. If The Rock wasn't with the company, there's a lot of feeling that he would already have been gone, golden parachute or not.
Mm-hmm.
But The Rock, and the fact that The Rock is going to be coming back for the Royal Rumble, is the main reason that he is still with the company in some capacity. He's getting the old creative consultant deal. Same thing Heyman got, same thing Cornette got. You know, when he's in your home, we're going to, you know, watch the show at home and send us reports we won't read.
Yeah.
Right? That's
the best use of him.
That is. Now, that led to, and it's hard to say...
Where was he in the hierarchy of the company, just so people know?
Well, Brian Gewirtz was the, after there was Russo, and then there was Chris Kresge, that preceded Vince Russo. Chris Kresge is the head of the writer, and that really was Brian Gewirtz after that. Brian Gewirtz was
Not preceded Russo, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
After.
Well,
ascended, I guess, is the term.
Like your testicles? that's descended.
Descended.
Expanded.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Expanded. No, your mom took care of that.
Right. Excellent. Yeah. Hungry, hungry hippo. It's a matter of, yes, came after. So it was Russo, Kresge, Gewirtz, really.
What about hungry, hungry, what's his name from Jeopardy? Was it Alex Trebek? Hungry, hungry Alex Trebek.
What about big, hungry, hungry hippos?
Oh, me and Ryback are one side?
Ryback and Tenzai, maybe. I don't know. But, Vince Russo come, then Chris Kresge came, then Brian
Gewirtz. I'm going to go with Lord Tenzai for Halloween this year.
Really? You're going to lose weight? I just think that it can't be fathom, I guess, how big of a move this is to get rid of Brian.
Essentially, let's put it this way, creatively, technically everything goes through Vince, and we know what Hunter's role in the company is, but creatively, technically,
right.
Stephanie is in charge of creative, and the number two person behind Stephanie, and the more day-to-day person running the operation, not just for, he was in charge of Raw, but just overall creatively, number two person in the company for years would have been Gewirtz.
Yes. And then come back in fast forward to this past February, we talked about the showrunner.
Yeah.
Right? And that's Eric Ponkeski. Ponkeski, I guess his name is, or Ponteski or Ponkeski. Anyway, he is the man that's kind of replaced Gewirtz. And that's been a slow kind of evolution over 2012 here,
mm-hmm.
where Gewirtz has been losing power and this Eric has been gaining power.
When exactly was Gewirtz technically removed from his position?
Well, when?
Yeah.
Friday.
Previous Friday.
Yeah.
The day after our last show.
Exactly, yes. And then the move, and then it was announced, I guess, officially to people at the TV on Monday there. But
yes, Vince gave a speech, right?
Yes, saying and telling the producers in the producer meeting, the agents, that he wants results or he wants resignations. And he did say that that starts with me.
Good, because I believe he is the individual most responsible for them not being a good product. I mean, he's in charge.
Well,
he is the individual most responsible. Stephanie deserves a lot of the blame as the number two person responsible. But he is more importantly than Gewirtz or anybody else. I mean, from what I understand about Gewirtz, Gewirtz attends things like Ring of Honor shows. He really does enjoy wrestling. He
huge douche, though. I mean, the one thing that they did say about this Eric fellow is that he has people skills, and Gewirtz does not.
Perhaps.
If you don't agree with Gewirtz, you're retarded, is how he takes it. Where
well,
Eric is able to, is to take the criticism, to have a discussion, where Gewirtz was never someone that people considered, approachable or willing to listen.
And Gewirtz, at the end of the day, everybody we talk about, everybody writes dialogue for the performers. At the end of the day, that final script, he's the one who goes over and changes any words, writes all of Cena's dialogue, writes all of The Rock's dialogue, like you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
changes the dialogue and these other things, and every other skit and what's going on, he's the final person who actually puts the script, the pen to paper, so to speak. And that's not just for Raw, that is for SmackDown as well.
Yes, that's...
And he has been doing that for a while. He's going to continue to do that, even though his power's been eroding. I think he's going to continue to do that.
No, he's sent home.
He's at home.
He has been doing that
even as he's been losing power.
Well, what's been happening...
In fact, I think that's one of the ways they've taken away from power, because he's been sitting at home.
When they changed it, he hasn't been sitting at home, he's been in the office. What they were doing is that they had Gewirtz and Hayes working out with Stephanie and Eric
mm-hmm.
out of Titan Tower.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rajan Singh, Dave Kapoor, and who's the other fellow there? Isn't that fellow's name I'm forgetting now? They were on the road.
Mm-hmm.
They were out on the...
That's right. Delivering
and at the shows and doing that. And so it was like a two-tiered effect. And that's when Eric came on as the showrunner. That was what they had done when they had split that off and given almost kind of a promotion to Gewirtz and Hayes that they didn't have to go to TV.
Mm-hmm.
That they did it out of the Titan Tower.
And since that's happened and Hayes hasn't been around, SmackDown has not been as good.
No, that's true.
And I haven't noticed a difference in Raw.
No. Raw's been, again, same old. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Now, the other thing is, while we're talking about Gewirtz being a douche, okay, like I say, he does like wrestling. There was a period where when Russo left and he was there, that they did produce some good television, had some good angles.
No, there really wasn't. No, because
yes, there was.
He was there. Okay, he was there. But Chris Kresge was the lead. Chris Kresge is
the man.
Yeah,
after Chris Kresge.
After Chris Kresge?
Yeah.
HLA. Katie Vick.
Mm-hmm.
After Chris Kresge.
Mm-hmm.
No, immediately after. Chris Kresge was there from like 2000 and basically 2002, 2003 was Chris Kresge.
Mm-hmm.
So then you go to late 2003 to 2004 and beyond, it was Brian Gewirtz.
Yep, that was
and
great. But there has been periods where they've enjoyed the show.
Well, of course, yeah. I won't say it, but I mean, in large part in terms of things, I mean, there was, again, these WrestleMania builds
mm-hmm.
with the Rock and with... Dave Bautista,
mm-hmm.
right, going forward.
Dave Bautista was an excellent storyline.
By
the way,
Trump.
Dave Bautista is going to be back on the show. Like he couldn't.
He is.
Make it last
yes, he couldn't.
He's going to be this time.
He is. He's won. He won his MMA fight.
He's
won
and
only. He's going to come to talk to us.
Who
about
else is it? We're in contact. I understand they're at their counselors, and they're right now, and they're on their way home.
Yes.
But when they get home, we're also going to get a phone call from Sunny, Tammy Six.
The original diva.
Yeah, that's right. And Damian Darling.
Damian Darling,
yeah. He's going to give us a call. So that's cool. So we're going to have two big interviews in this show.
You know, that was so nice of Dr. Shelby to hook that up for us.
Yeah. That's great. I assume
that's their counselor.
I assume.
Yeah, because it would be done through WWE, right?
The wellness
program, right?
Exactly.
So, that's Gwirt's gone. What that's going to mean, we're not going to see for a while. Mm-hmm. It takes a little bit of time if we're going to see anything at all, but it's going to take some time. This past Raw, the fact that Gwirt's in there, that's not really going to be an indication.
Now, one of the things is you hear that writers would talk about how they worked there for a year and nothing that they wrote actually got on air.
Yes.
All that they got on air was some of the dialogue they'd write for the performers. That
came back down to him more than Stephanie or anybody else.
Oh, very true.
That came back down to him. So, based on that...
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be the thing here. So, I think based on that...
Don't cut me off. I'll say it. Based on that, there's a chance that we're going to see these guys, these many writers, the 20 writers or whatever that's on staff.
Yeah.
Or maybe they'll have a chance to get stuff more on air if the guy, what's his name, the showrunner dude...
Eric Ponteski or Ponteski or whatnot, yeah.
That's African-American, that name, doesn't it?
Well, that's his middle name is Akeem.
Oh, there you go. All right. But the point is that he's, maybe he'll be more approachable. Maybe these guys will. Will that make for a better product? I don't know. I'm not an advocate, regardless of having 20 writers.
I don't
think that makes for a good product.
No, that's...
And Stephanie's still there. And Vince is still there, making them changing his mind every 2 minutes. And making last-minute decisions and making them throw shit out and fucking up the
roster. Well, apparently Stephanie at least has never had less to do with it since coming on board. Because of the kids, I guess that's why she's working out of the
towers. When I say Stephanie is still there, what I mean is the idea of writers instead of bookers is not going away because that's Stephanie's contribution. That's her legacy.
That's her contribution?
Yeah.
Yes. That is true. So that was your booking change on Raw. Then we go to Raw. Raw was built around, it was basically built around, Mr. McMahon
mm-hmm.
against The Miz, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the whole,
I'm just going to say this, as before we go anywhere, because you're going to tell me what your problem was with the show. I said it's good. Not great. I think it was an above-average show made quite good by a tremendous crowd. One of the hottest crowds I can remember. Probably one of the top 20 hottest crowds I could ever remember.
Yeah.
Hot crowd. Now, that said, I've said to you many times, and you've disagreed with this, you like it when Vince is on because he entertains you. I don't like it when Vince is on because the show becomes about him, and I don't see any purpose in that.
Yeah.
I generally dislike Vince being on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that said, I thought this was a good show.
Yeah. Vince generally entertains me, but this didn't entertain me, I guess. I mean, the match itself, okay, he busted open and did his thing and what have you, but I don't know. Like, to me, the only purpose that this could serve is if they are going to do Punk Austin because of the way that it did it, but it's too far out to be starting that. But
Ryan, I do have an email question from Dan Hope.
Okay.
Yeah, Dan Hope is giving me an email on Punk and Austin.
Okay, so we'll get to it.
But they are, I mean, again, to tease it there. That you told me something, though, about that promo that he cut on Punk.
Oh, yes, that was actually a Zach Wilde. The one that we played, was it last week or 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks.
Yeah, that was actually... a Zach Wilde roast. Austin was on a Zach Wilde roast, and that was him talking or doing a roast of Zach Wilde, and whoever did that video on YouTube just kind of edited it in for CM Punk.
And that said, he did cut a legit video on CM Punk this last week.
Sort of, yeah, from Mexico. He said he was shooting...
A promo, but he
it was like a one-minute just, I haven't seen nothing, da-da-da-da-da, I'm just here to respond to it. But, I mean, the thing
Zach
was...
And who's Zach Wilde?
He's the guy from High School Musical.
No.
Hmm?
No.
No?
Osbourne's guitarist.
Really? Really? He's Ozzy Osbourne's guitarist?
Yes.
Wow. Well, the fact that I'm not 57 years old explains why I didn't know that.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, Sharon!
No, you have no interest in good music.
Hmm? No, I enjoy the...
Did you enjoy the thing?
Mm-hmm. I did. Okay. I did, yeah. I don't know any of her songs, otherwise I would just name one right now.
Anyways, fuck it.
The we don't motherfucking is, need it.
The Ozzy Osbourne guitarist obviously doesn't shower. But anyways, what are you saying? Get to your fucking point. Quit kibitzing around.
No, I'm done. No, this Vince McMahon thing. It didn't really entertain me. I mean, the fact was that he come out when he did is because someone was watching the baseball game that was on a rain delay, and they told Vince that, and that's why he came out at like 9:27 or something like that. It was a very odd time for of what they would consider a major show segment. They like to do it on the hours, and he come out at some. Oh, he did. He did. He interrupted Brodus Clay and R-Truth. Little Jimmy apparently is going through puberty.
He wanted to fuck the Funkadeckle.
Intercourse? Bone?
With the girls that dance with Brodus Clay.
Oh, yeah, yeah. As JBL called them, the Funkadelics.
The Funkadelics. He wanted to fuck the Funkadelics. Or the Funkadactyl. Say it three times fast. Go ahead.
Hmm?
That's the Funkadactyl.
Hmm? Okay.
Say it three times fast.
Three times fast.
Say it. Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Retarded.
You said say it three times fast.
Fuck off!
But the, so we interrupted them dancing.
Oh, by the way, just to warn you right now, there's going to be some profane language used in this show.
Fuck you, Sid.
Yeah, we're going to start, from now on in, there'll probably be some profane language used during We Talk Wrestling. So,
we're
going to start right now.
Yeah, we've decided to,
let the reins off.
Well, you know, and because we feel that you, the fans, are tired of that old cliche of good guy versus bad guy. Certainly the era where the superhero tells you to say their prayers and take their vitamins is truly passé.
Yeah.
And that enters into my point, actually, that speech, is that that's when Austin McMahon in 1998 was happening. Vince looked fucking old, for one thing. He is old.
He is 67.
He went like a motherfucker. I mean, getting that under his eye hard way.
Where he did the dive over the table, where fire went, holy fuck.
Yeah, yeah. And I was like, you talk about wanting to put things. He went all out. That said, 2.8.
Yeah.
Right? 10% increase in his audience.
Yeah.
Right? That's it. 600,000 viewers on average.
If they had built that to a match on pay-per-view, it probably would have went from a B pay-per-view doing, let's say, 90,000 to 130.
Well, maybe, but not even this pay-per-view. You know what I mean? Like that was something that had they done this last year.
Yeah.
You know, the instead of him taking the pedigree, Punk could have fought Vince. You know what I mean? Like in terms of that way, but because he's come back. But now the thing is again, I just looked at it like, okay, here's Vince wrestling again. This time it's Punk. It's something new. I will give you that. But the other thing is that Punk was bringing back all the stuff about you're not a CM Punk guy and blah, blah, blah. You know, again, it's too late for that shit. They fucked that up. He can't pull that card out anymore. It's done, right? There's just no, like, that story is completely disconnected now. So that's fine. I see where they were trying to go. It was a hot shot move, and to me, it reeked of a hot shot move.
Reeks of desperation.
And that's the part, that's the main reason that I didn't like it. It's not, again, when I say it didn't entertain me, it didn't entertain me, but normally, okay, but it didn't drive me away normally. But the fact was that it reeked of desperation, had me sort of sitting there going, really, okay, fine. That's your big plan. The ratings are at an all-time low. Let's truck out Vince, right? Was Hogan unavailable? You know what I mean?
That's why I've always said I don't like Vince there. Because the show becomes about Vince, and I don't see any purpose in that. There's no future in Vince. Vince is 67 years old.
Mm-hmm.
How old do you think Vince will live till?
149.
Seriously?
I'm actually serious that he probably will find the cryogenic stasis in and transplant organs necessary to do that.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
Pal.
I don't know. I think the average American male lives to be 71.
Really?
Yeah.
Bagwell and Riggs?
The average American male.
American males. American males. American males.
That was great.
I just found the picture for this show.
So, all right, but point being, the guy, let's just say he lives four more years.
Mm-hmm.
Really, what's the point of this? When it's in an era when the whole point is that people complain that there's no stars and nobody draws money, having a Vince McMahon give a better fight to CM Punk than Dolph Ziggler did,
yeah,
doesn't do any good for the company.
Well, part of it.
This is why I've always complained about it. Now, that said, the show, the Vince opening or segment when he first came out wasn't that good.
Right.
Punk was terrific. Vince wasn't that great. Punk, I said I didn't think they'd be able to get heel heat for him. I think he's turned the corner. I don't think it was just that this was a crowd that was there to enjoy the show and play their part.
Right.
So it was. I think he actually has turned the corner. I was wrong about that. He's found his heel character. He's going to get good heel heat.
Oh, this crowd definitely wanted to be part of the show.
Oh, yeah. No question. No question. They were there to have fun.
Some of them wanted to get in the ring.
Well, he's getting no fight.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll get there. My thing is, Punk was terrific. Then the backstage segment with Heyman and
well, even immediately,
I didn't think was that good.
Vince
and JR, I thought was awful. Fucking just Vince, just fucking stroking his dick in front of everybody,
well,
trying to show up big and talkative.
Yeah, a couple things with it. Punk was great in the opening. Heyman was great in the opening. This did not go as planned. This did not go, and
Heyman was good at CM Punk later when he said you have to basically beat the shit out of him to the point where, you know.
This is the reality of it, is that we're in a no-win situation. Exactly. Well, he said that at first.
He wasn't that good with Vince.
I enjoyed with Vince going, I've known you since I was 14.
Yeah.
You know, like that, and that's all true, right? And so I enjoyed a little bit of that. My favorite, I laughed my ass off when JR come in because fucking Vince looked at him and goes, JR, would you do me the honor of calling my match?
Yes.
And I'm thinking, like, I was just like, well, there was the dig there. Like, that was meant for, like, there was no way that they did not do that without that purpose in mind. And then, you know, Shawn and Undertaker and all these people coming out to, you know, I want JR to call my, no. I want JR to call my match. No. Right? I mean, and now, oh, could you call my match, JR?
No, I didn't like that. The actual match itself surprised me because he was old. He is old. He's in good shape for a guy his age.
Yeah.
He certainly went, like I've always said, because he can't wrestle, he goes hardcore and nobody else is allowed to go hardcore anymore. And that was the novelty of it. When was the last time we saw two people bring out...
Kendo sticks. Yeah.
Exactly. So, I mean, it was a good brawl. That's what Vince does.
Mm-hmm.
The crowd was going, this is awesome, when he's just sitting there in the ring, because it was your classic underdog babyface standing up and wanting to fight. That said, that was the only good part for Vince for me. But when I say it was a good show, there was more than this. It was a three-hour show,
mm-hmm.
and most segments worked for me. Okay, the dancing segment didn't work. Larry King wasn't any good, but Kofi Kingston and The Miz were good. The crowd was so hot. Like, the crowd, we talked about the reaction Ryback got, and he got a big reaction.
He did, yes.
You know? Okay, that said, so did Sin Cara. Okay? When The Miz mm-hmm. said it was his birthday, the crowd went nuts and cheered.
Yes, I know, right?
Greater reaction, and just came out against Punk later. And again, that has more to do with Punk than with Ryback. So, I mean, and he's not moving very good. I don't think they should look too much into it. It's not that it's not working. I still say long-term it doesn't work because he sucks.
Yeah, well,
but
here's the thing with...
He'd be a perfect heel to lose to a babyface champion and go away, he's not going to be a perfect baby face to stick around at the top.
Well, I was going to say, here's the thing. Is exactly, if you move him to the top, to the next level, he's got to wrestle 15 minutes, and he can't. And that's the thing. I mean,
he's going about 8 minutes with Punk on the road, and people are saying it's awful.
He'd be Diesel.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, and that's just it.
That's the lowest drawn champion ever.
Well,
so like I say, though, this is a great crowd, so I don't think you read too much into it, but I do think that it means, like I say, Kofi was good. He was getting a renewed push.
Well, Kofi and R-Truth, we should mention, as we talk about that, I guess it was on WWE.com is where they did their kind of breakup, where they're going to go their separate ways, you know, amicably, and break up as a tag team.
Yeah.
And so it looks like Kofi. It's going to be Kofi and The Miz for the Intercontinental title next week on ION, on the main event. And I would assume that Kofi wins the Intercontinental title there because they're trying to get that show over and how else to do it than with a title change.
It's just difficult to watch on a Wednesday night, too.
Well, we don't get it up here in Canada. We're gonna.
There's ways to watch it.
Well, there is ways to watch it if you want to go out of your way. I just, you know, I mean, I haven't either.
And it's not on a good night for me.
No, I should note too, in terms of their push of the ION. I actually, because it was Monday, was a Canadian Thanksgiving, and so which is actually part of the reason that Brian.
Real Thanksgiving.
Prior to the reasons that Brian Gewirtz got released is something to give thanks for.
Yeah.
But John Cena. Was on Strahan and Kelly, or whatever the fuck the show was called. The old Regis and Kathy Lee show. Kelly and Mike. He was on this show, and I mean, he did his thing. They talked about the Susan G. Komen, you know, the breast cancer thing and everything, and they talked a little about him and CM Punk. But at the very end of the show, Michael Strahan, please, you know, he goes, and don't forget to catch John Cena every Wednesday on ION.
Oh, did he?
That was the show they were plugging, which I thought was interesting on there. You know,
2.8, coming off of 2.5, plug ION.
Yeah, but that was, I mean, so, but I mean, that was planned before the...
They could have said both. They could have.
What are you going to do? But I mean, I just thought it was interesting that that was the show, that was what I'd written down. I'm like, really? Fuck, they're plugging ION on that. But anyway, back to Raw.
Like I say, most of these things, the Rhodes Scholars were good.
Yeah.
You know, Sin Cara and Ray were good. Like, most of the segments worked for me that weren't...
I will say the tag team championship I'm really liking in the tournament. Again, flip side, sadly, you have Primo and Epico, you know, being fed to Ryback, right?
And getting destroyed by him, and I say I never like that. I don't like when a tag team does that. That said, in this tag team division, if there's eight teams, they're number seven or eight. Like, so it's not like the champions are being fed to him, like we've seen in the past.
If there's eight teams, they're number five because you put Tyson Kidd and Justin Gabriel below them and Team Cobro.
Okay, so, but you know my point is...
And if they use another fucking team name, I'm going to fucking go nuts. Team Rhodes Scholar, Team Hell No, Team Cobro. Fuck you and your teams, cocksuckers. Well, no, not really. I mean, you got 75 fucking writers. You can't come up with something other than team something? Jesus.
I still will take it over no team name.
Well, yeah, I will, yeah.
But the point is, though, is that...
Oh, there's a point.
Is that because the crowd was into it and the other segments worked, it was a show that worked for me, regardless of whether or not Vince was there. Most of the show worked. Most of the show succeeded. The only segments I didn't like I said, I didn't like Vince stuff. I didn't like the Brian and Skeletor and Mrs. King segment backstage and the Kane and Brian, but I did like their match and their earlier segment together.
I also want to point out when we're talking about Vince.
Yeah.
When he come out with the state of the WWE address.
Oh, yeah.
And the one thing he wanted to say is that WWE's got lots of stuff for you, but the main thing that WWE has is action.
That was bullshit.
And then Vince wrestles in the main event.
Yeah.
So I thought, wonderful.
We have room, but we've just seen two people dancing, but there's room for that here in the WWE. We have champions defending, you want to see the champions.
Well, there is room for that on the WWF. There is room for R-Truth and Brodus Clay. It's called... Saturday Morning Slam.
Exactly.
That's the room for it. It
isn't Antonio Cesaro and Tyson Kidd had a really nice little match.
They did.
And he's going to be the next guy to get that big reaction because, like Ryback now, he's destroying and squashing people on the winning streak, but he can actually go.
Tyson Kidd, yeah.
No.
Oh.
Cesaro, he actually has innovative offense. He doesn't look clumsy and awkward in the ring. You actually think this guy could be tough in a fight.
Mm-hmm.
I think anybody above 14 doesn't think that Ryback's going to be that tough in a fight. You get winded and lose to most people.
People live in Kentucky.
Good point.
So, and Indiana.
Strange Kentucky people.
But, yeah, so no, I just think that...
Indiana, poor fuckers.
I know, right? Jones. I just think that, I don't know, I just, the whole thing didn't really work for me. I said, I don't know, something about Kofi in the Intercontinental title again, just, I don't know.
It's like Kofi Miz. I'm like, okay, that's fine. That's
it feels to me like I've seen that a million times.
It's an actual Intercontinental Championship feud with a storyline being built into it.
Like Cody Rhodes and the Big Show?
Okay.
Like, I mean, didn't, well, I'm just...
You're doing so well here.
I know.
Give me another one. You go back any time in the last decade. Go ahead.
In the last decade? Well, John Morrison and Jeff Hardy had that great...
They didn't have an issue.
Yeah, the issue was, competition. That's my painting.
Yeah. That doesn't fucking
matter. Yes, it does. That was awesome.
Yeah, okay, that was awesome. But that's not an issue. The point is that they have not even had storylines or feuds or built up anything.
There has to be another one. No, I don't. But what's their issue?
What's their issue?
Yeah.
They had, but this is as much as we've ever gotten, is my point. This is more. This is obviously something as an issue.
Well, it's something. And it's better than nothing. You're right. And it's something. I feel like I've seen Miz and Kofi. I don't know if I have. But I feel like I have.
I don't think I have.
I feel like I have. I don't know if you take out Miz for Ziggler is what I'm thinking, but I don't know. But, I mean, it's guys, and it's a match, and it's fine, and it's going to just, you know, happen. And I didn't really, I mean, I didn't hate it, and I hope it continues. To me, it's with this is, like, you're right, I'm a fan of having issues.
Like I said,
and hopefully they build on it.
This is a good role for Miz. He was good in this little role, and Kofi was good in this little role.
It was his birthday.
Yeah, I know.
But no, I hope they build on it. That's all I'm saying. It was a good start. Hopefully they build on it. You know what I mean?
Not enough, but it's a start.
Yeah.
So I'll take it. Like I said,
I'll take it, yeah.
Because the crowd was into it. It was good shit.
Yeah. I really like the women's match in terms of the story they told with Eve focusing in on...
Something else that actually worked.
Caitlin. And that's two for two on that. I talked about Natalya and Beth on that SmackDown, and then there we go with this. And whoever's booking the women's division, yeah, pretty much. I mean, whoever's doing it whoever's booking it is a wrestling guy because they're even on this past SmackDown when Eve wins, and then they interview Eve in the ring. Saying, you know, I'm going to get my title back.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, that's a wrestling interview, right? I heard on the Brian Vinci show, but he said, somehow there becomes, this was a snippet of wrestling in my sports entertainment show.
Yeah.
Right? And that's a perfect way to put it.
Yeah.
But I think that, really, with Caitlin, the story was being told, you know, the knee's hurt, she focused on the knee, you know, does all the submissions. JBL doing a great job talking about the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu and how he's been training in that. So, I mean, I also, JBL again, I mean, you know, climbing Mount Kilimanjaro, not as difficult as carrying you on this show.
I did
it for the kids, yeah. No, I just, that was,
Yeah, no, it was, alright, I think we've talked pretty much everything we can about Raw, except for the incident at the end, right? Now...
That's right, yes.
Do you think we're going to see Ryback versus Punk?
No.
You think Cena's going to be able to go?
Yeah, I think
so.
I think he will.
He could barely throw Punk back into the ring when his spot comes.
You know,
it's a hell of a sell, man.
I
don't think he's ready.
Yeah, I think you'll see it. I mean, apparently they're going to be able to make the call Monday morning.
Yeah.
This Monday morning is when they can make that, when he's
so
set to be...
Let's say Ryback goes in.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have him win?
No.
Okay. Me either.
No, I just...
I don't think it matters. If he loses but dominates Punk and kind of gets screwed at the end...
You have
to... And
goes
on a huge tear afterwards...
Yeah.
But never gets another shot, they find a loophole to keep him from getting another shot... People will be hot for it when he finally gets one. It'll be just as big. It's okay to end the winning streak because they're not really called it a streak. They did say undefeated, but
well,
they
then,
really built it up that way. So it's fine.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. They, you can go back to destroying people in one loss. I mean, I don't think it's going to matter, but...
I still say it has a chance we're going to see Lesnar versus Ryback. I think they might. I could see them doing that.
Yeah, I
think what would be interesting.
They're talking about Ryback.
It would be like that. I think that's a match where I think Ryback would say, "Yeah, fucking cut me open like you did John Cena."
There's been some talk of Ryback against The Undertaker.
Yeah, that's awful.
Yeah, I know. But the more recent talk now is I wrote if WrestleMania were today on WeTalkWrestling.com is CM Punk against The Undertaker.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to be the plan, the working plan right now. But I mean, no, I mean, Ryback can't win. Again, all roads lead to the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And CM Punk versus The Rock.
Mm-hmm.
And however many days it's going to be, 400 days or whatever, champion.
Mm-hmm.
In 400 and some days it'll be, because 365 would bring us to Survivor Series, and then you fast forward 2 months. So it'll be 400 and something days as champion losing to The Rock. What he should do is lose to The Rock in, like, 9 seconds via a splash. Like the Honky Tonk Man lost to the Ultimate Warrior.
That'd be great.
Get somebody out here. I don't care who it is.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I think that nothing should derail you from that plan, because that is a good idea.
Yes.
And there's money there.
Yeah.
And it, you know... Punk losing, winning again, is it going to derail things? Probably not so much, but it's a story again. And it's rewarding your audience.
It becomes, yeah, exactly.
Is what it is.
Ryback, who does Ryback defend against at the Royal Rumble? Not The Rock, so against CM Punk, well then, The Rock needs to win the title based on the fact that he said it. You should put the title back on The Rock, so...
Well, you will, I mean, Rock has the title match at the Rumble.
Exactly.
So Rock and Ryback ain't happening,
exactly.
and you're not going to give Ryback the title for a week.
Sheamus and The Rock? No, I don't think so. That's not the title he's talking about. By the way, Sheamus versus Bear, good shit.
That was good shit.
This is how you use Sheamus. You don't have Sheamus come out and be... I can say, I find Sheamus charming, but you don't have Sheamus come out and try and be the next John Cena, be all cutesy and funny and always laughing and never serious. This is what you do. Is you put him in there and you have people beat him up, and you have set up a whole ton of challengers and make it seem like the whole world against him, and like he has no chance, but he's the fighting underdog champion who will never back down. Get back in the ring. He's challenging all three of them to come back at him.
Yeah,
That's how you get over. That's how you treat that character.
Yeah, two things with that, though. I mean, again, the match was great.
Yeah.
I was hoping to see Barrett and Sheamus at WrestleMania.
That doesn't mean you won't.
No, it doesn't mean I won't. Well, it does. The only thing I didn't like is Tensai involved in that whole thing, because I just wish Tensai would go away.
Yeah, I wish he would get a reboot, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, he did. He took a brogue kick.
Eat defeat.
But then again, CM Punk now, at the end of the match, goes into the stands.
Yes.
Is being shoved around by rowdy fans. Is somebody two rows back reaches over a guy and, like, I guess was giving him kidney shots or something, Punk. And Punk turned around and looked at the guy. The guy was put his hands up going like, whoa, wasn't me. But,
Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched it.
I went back and watched it again, the live crowd.
Yeah.
All I saw was Punk push the guy, and that wasn't very serious, just like a light shove.
Yeah.
That's all I saw.
Okay, and then there's another guy that's, if Punk is here, the guy is just back and to his right in the video, anyway. Wearing a blue shirt, dark blue shirt, and then somebody's reaching over him and shoving. And Punk turns around, shoots him a look, and the guy puts his hands up going, that wasn't me, it was, you know, back there or whatever.
Yeah.
Then Punk, you know, I guess it keeps happening. The guy gets kind of pushed into Punk.
Yeah.
And
there was, he was being punched in the kidneys and stuff too, right?
Yeah, well, that was it. And the guy, yeah, hit in the back of the head. The guy gets pushed into Punk. Not even hard, just like taps him, basically, right? Punk doesn't even look. He just spins and does like a back fist to him. And wax the guy down.
Yeah.
And then that's when he waxed the guy.
And the guy smashes.
If you watch Raw.
His glasses broke.
Yeah, his glasses broke. When Punk smashes him and takes a one look, That's when Vince goes, I'm talking to you, damn it.
Yeah, yeah.
That was that poor part in the show. Anyway, the guys decided not to press charges at this point.
Sue for money instead.
Well, he's going to settle, exactly. They're going to press charges. He's going to.
He
absolutely should. You want to hear the funniest part of this?
Yeah.
SmackDown.
Yeah.
Coming back to
Sacramento. It's called
SmackFan. The pre-sale code is called SmackFan.
Yes.
That is great.
But all this said. Ultimately, if you're CM Punk and you go into the crowd and you're a heel trying to get heel heat and you get beaten up by the fans, well, guess what? In the old days, they would have called that good heat.
Mm-hmm.
They said fucking fight back or fucking suck it up because you went into the crowd. At the end of the day, whose fault is it? Not Punk. I'm not blaming him.
No.
He's getting heat.
It's sort of
the
is.
Fucking security. No, that's it. Punk probably shouldn't have done what he did, but
mm-hmm.
I don't blame him. It's a failure on security.
Well,
on
I got to put a little bit of the blame on Punk because he did it. He did it.
Yeah, well...
Okay, so... But I would blame you. I mean, if I'm actually getting hit, I gotta take some. Is that what that is? I just thought there was a fan in here. That's some air.
Yeah.
It's all hot air, so I just thought you were talking.
Yeah.
But
we both know we would win a fight.
I know, and I'm sparing your life. You're welcome. Oh, here's the dog.
Here's the dog.
Heard fight. It's Michael Vick's old dog.
Oh,
but
it is.
It is. But the thing
why
is...
Why does my dog always beat the shit out of you?
Hmm? Well, I didn't say he was good. That's why he's my dog now. And he's like Santa's little helper. But, no, I just think that the fact that Punk did it, I mean, he should have done it. I mean, yeah, the guy's gonna sue for some...
he's gonna get some money. And he should. So that's worth it for him. Whatever, CM Punk, Like I said, you want to go into the crowd, you should really suck it up, but I don't really blame him. And I don't really care that much. I think too much is being made of it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I mean, that's one of the big things. But I think that we talked about, is that all we've got for Raw?
That's it for Raw.
Okay. Yeah, that is. I just want to talk a little bit briefly about, we talked about Raw and the booking change in terms of Gewurz. Ring of Honor had a booking change as well. Changing capacity, like words. In a Jim Cornette is no longer their head of creative. It's now Delirious Hunter Thompson that is going to get the book.
I love Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. That was so good.
I just love the fact that the Pure Wrestling Company.
Yeah.
Has a guy named Hunter in charge.
Yeah, and Delirious.
Yeah. Yeah, Hunter is Delirious. I love that.
This is my face that says I care. It's ROH.
Yeah. No, and that's...
ROH, it doesn't matter, and they're not about to matter.
No.
It's worth mentioning, and now we're not.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, is that a lot of people... Well, the reason it was worth mentioning is because a lot of people didn't know that it happened.
Yeah.
The reason is because they made the announcement on iPay-Per-View.
There you go.
So nobody could get it.
A few people ordered it, but nobody got it.
Yeah, yeah, that's just
it. Yeah, and here's the other thing, though. I mean, they haven't been relevant since Gabe had to leave. They haven't been relevant basically since then. I mean, they had a few good matches, a few good events, but consistently relevant, people talking about the quality and saying this is something you have to see, you can't miss this, hasn't been since he left. And that's a long fucking time ago now. I mean, 3-4 years?
Oh, God, yeah, 4 years probably now, yeah. Yeah, so
it's too far, I think, for them to climb back.
Yeah. No, I think you're probably...
We had hopes when St. Clair came on, nothing happened, and they're done.
No. Well, I mean, that's... Again, I can't blame him. I blame Mr. Richfield.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of anything... anything else you want to talk about?
Let's get to this question from Dan. Asking us, and he said... It seems to me like they're building towards CM Punk versus Austin. I think the crowd's going to be really, really disappointed if they don't do it based on...
Punk and Austin, yeah.
Yeah, based on how they're going. That said, if you were to fantasy book it, how would you book Punk versus Austin from beginning to end? So... I don't know how quickly we can go through that, but what do you think? How would you do this?
Well, I do a 50-show arc, so let me start with show one. No. I mean, in terms of the Ashes, right, I think obviously Straight Edge versus the Beer Drinker is the part that again, has to come up. I think it ultimately has to kind of boil down to... You know, beer versus no beer.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like the blue collar guy like you, and he thinks he's better than you.
Yeah, well, that's just it. And I mean, the funny thing is that again, it's when you talk about opposites attract, right? They're similar,
mm-hmm.
right? And they're going to be combustible. So the difference with them is again, is the beer no beer? That's really it. I don't.
The most perfect opponent for. Austin, since basically he's had his last match.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of things that you want to look at. I mean, you play up the fact that the promo, he was wearing a Stone Cold t-shirt, right? The Punk promo, he was wearing a Stone Cold. There's a picture online somewhere and around of CM Punk where he's got the red, spiky Punk hair with his picture with Steve Austin. Right, whatever, a 14-year-old CM Punk in his picture with Steve Austin. You use that.
Sure, like you did with Chris Jericho and Shawn Michaels all those
years. Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
But again, I think this is more of a, I've done everything. I've done more than you. I'm better than you. I'm a bigger superstar. You know, I mean, talk about him as Punk as a heel. He gets how to be a heel as well. He's not the cool heel. I mean, you heard him talking to Vince McMahon, how Steve Austin took shortcuts to get to where he is, right? I mean, that's a classic heel move, right?
Exactly.
So I just think that that's kind of, again, how I would be playing it. Is I do, like, again, a straight-up wrestling angle based around, you idolized me, but I'm better than you.
I'm better than you were at your best, and you're not at your best anymore.
Yeah, and
Steve Austin saying, no, fuck you, I mean, I'm in shape, I got one last fight in me, I never had my last fight, you're it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's basically, you know, Rocky Balboa comes out of retirement, right?
Yep.
Maybe not to fight Tommy Gunn, but to maybe fight Citizen Kane, right? I'm talking about Rocky Balboa, the movie, not Rocky V.
Is that Citizen Kane? Was that the name of
the
character?
Yeah.
Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah, so...
Okay, all right. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. And Rocky in that movie did have the best line. It's not whether or not you get hit, it's how many times you get hit and keep moving forward. And that's just the attitude you have often for that.
Actually, Paulie had the best line in that because he walked into the restaurant.
No, you're not saying it. Shut the fuck up right now. I know where you're going. It was good. It was funny. I know you laughed.
Oh, I howled.
You're not doing it. So anyways... what's that email? It just popped up. To say, is that from Dave's management team?
Hmm? Oh, it is. That's from his publicist there. Dave Batista's, he's got to go. Apparently his dog needs to get his nails cut. So he's going to do it next week. Yeah, Big Dave. He's just rescheduling.
So he's
going to
be on.
He's going to be on. He's just rescheduling. He's going to be on
so
next
week. Big Dave Bautista next week instead.
Next week instead, yes.
Well,
a couple months now,
2-3 months we've been promoting.
Addie, ADDIE. Well, the benefit here is Addie, ADDIE, at WeTalkWrestling.com. You got another week now, I guess, to be able to send in questions. I don't know how long we're going to have with them because we've got a lot of questions. But
like 5-10 minutes.
Well, we've got a lot of questions is the whole thing,
lot,
right?
But,
so
I mean, hopefully we'll get him talking. He'll stay
on.
So. Big Dave Batista, the Animal, next week, or as he was called on the pay-per-view, what was it, Brass Hands or something like that? Or it was something else. Or Big Brass or something like that.
Yeah, the Big Brass or something like that.
Had some other nickname.
Not the Big Hungry.
No.
I really felt bad for Michael Cole there. Because Michael Cole, ever since the Jerry Lawler thing, has gotten, you know, sympathy and then building up some credibility again, going to the baby face. Well, no, but just him saying, the big hungry, I'm like, that sounds so retarded. That, like, you just, this is the, like, that's something that the old Michael Cole that I hate would say, right?
Actually, the big hungry is not as good a nickname as Big Daddy Cool.
No,
or
no.
Big Sexy, or, you know.
No, just the big hungry, and, oh, and what do they call it, Shell Shocked?
The Shell Shock is the name.
Shell Shock is the finisher.
Who gives a fuck? Shell Shock would have been better, because it would have sounded like food. Speaking of which, I'm getting hungry.
I know. You're getting big hungry.
Steve Austin.
How would you? Yes, I kind of.
Where do you pull the trigger then? Like, where do you start the official build? How does the first confrontation happen, and where?
Well, again, if this is a wrestling angle, then CM Punk, again, he loses a title to The Rock at the Royal Rumble. I'm trying to think of who at that point we could put in with Punk in a one-on-one situation at the Elimination Chamber pay-per-view. Whoever that is, I mean, pick a name, doesn't matter, babyface guy, Ryback, who knows,
doesn't matter.
Steve Austin is announced as the referee for that match. And that's where you build your heat up from there, because then him and Austin can play and have some back and forth confrontation as I'm going to referee, you're going to referee my match, old man, and you can kind of do a little bit of it without being directly at each other. He can kind of go through
you
to the other guy.
If though that Austin cannot touch him, that they can't touch him some way, because there can't be a physical.
I don't know that you do. I don't necessarily know that you do. I just don't think you go there. I think you just have them jaw at each other and kind of, without blatantly saying it, just say, you know, these guys should fight, right?
I do like your idea. What I think is he keeps on talking more and more shit. I think he keeps on talking about, like, as he's building towards The Rock, every time he's slamming The Rock, he goes, and I'm going to beat you because I'm better than you, just like I was better than Steve Austin. And every time he's sitting there going, I'm going to beat you because you're brave enough to face me. You're not good enough to beat me, but you're brave enough to face me, unlike Steve Austin.
Well, and
you just keep that up every time in the build. That's where you really take it over as far as him fucking calling out Austin. Austin shows up then for me at the Royal Rumble. All he does is he shows up, walks in, like Punk's music plays. Everybody's waiting for The Rock. Austin's music plays instead. Austin comes out, gets in the ring with him.
Stares at him,
gets in, sits at the table, and does the announcing.
That would be awesome.
Yeah. Fucking Rock comes out. During the match, CM Punk could beat him, but instead, he wants to show off to Austin. He's trying so hard to show off to Austin, he costs himself the match.
Mm.
After he loses, hits that Rock bottom, and he's sleeping on the floor. Fucking Austin gets in the ring, throws a beer to Rock. Both of them drink a beer, pour it over Straight Edge's mouth. He freaks out because he's got beer on him. Celebration. The next night, Austin comes out on Monday Night Raw, so you actually have the verbal confrontation, or not Austin, CM Punk comes out, the verbal confrontation is one-on-one, he opens the show, he comes out, he calls out Austin for how he disrespected him, that's when Austin comes out, that's when you have the verbal confrontation.
Then, rather than my match with Austin as referee, contract signing happens at Elimination Chamber.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's how I love that. Elimination Chamber, make people pay for the contract.
Yeah.
And that's how you fucking do it.
Yeah. No, that's perfect. That, right, to me is perfect. Plus, we'll probably be there at the Royal Rumble, and I'd love to be there in person and see that,
that is
right?
The game plan. Let's look into that. I think I got my finances in order for that here.
It's a matter of...
If we do get down there, and if any of our listeners are down there...
Mm-hmm.
We'd
down where?
We'd love to get together and have some fun with you guys. Especially if you're female.
Yeah, down there.
You can bring your moms.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know what? Honestly, if you're going to be down there, that would be awesome. But even if you're not, we're going to try and get you some really cool content from there. I'm not sure what we're going to be able to do, but we're gonna fucking try. We're going to obviously give you a live report, and who knows if we can come up
with
it.
Yeah, well, I mean, whatever it is, we'll get a hotel with Wi-Fi, and we've got a laptop, and we can just run the program out there, right? So, that'll work.
It should be a lot of fun. So that is the game plan.
Yeah, it's just a matter of getting the time off work at this point. It's too far out, you know, in the year in terms of yearly scheduling for that shit for
yeah,
me to be able to, yeah,
exactly.
So I don't have that
sure we'll
time.
We'll
but I don't think it'd be a problem. But yeah, so that's, anyway, but that's, I think that's the way to go with it. Plus, I mean, I just remember very fondly a Mick Foley-Terry Funk match, and Steve Austin was on commentary for it. And I think that Austin on commentary, you know, with, again, with, it would be probably, well, it'd be King and Cole, I guess. JR probably wouldn't be there when Lawler comes back, but, that to me would be great. I think he'd be gold there. Lawler, I guess, supposed to be, it's next Tuesday. SmackDown is in Memphis, so Lawler will at least be there, probably on camera, probably show up in person, because it seems like he's been out and about and doing some stuff.
I do
so.
Have one question for you as you're doing this.
Yes.
When you're sitting there, do you think that you don't announce Austin and have it be the surprise so that people who bought it are talking about it and give the momentum of, hey, we should have bought it? Or do you think you sit there and go, I don't think you ever say he's actually coming, but do you think like The Rock is enough to push the buys that you don't need to advertise him?
I think
or
Punk...
Or do you think Rock, all he says is, I'm going to be there, and by the way, I made him a friend who shows up to talk to you too. And that's all he says.
Maybe. You could. It's to me the law of diminishing returns, though, because I think The Rock is enough to build it. If Steve Austin is going to be there, okay, in 2000, well, it'd be 2013 at that point, in 2012, in this day and age, okay, it's going to get out that Steve Austin will be there. Allied Diesel and the Rumble and Booker, it'll get out, and us. We're going to be the ones interested in talking about that.
Yeah, we'll be tweeting that out if we see them.
Yeah.
We'll be hanging out at the airport, you know.
No, we're not.
Yeah, we are. Well,
it's a big airport.
Yeah, well, just to talk to Ken Shamrock and the Nasty Boys in case they have a fight.
That's true. That's true. In case. But, no, I just think that it's going to be one of those, speaking of douches, but it's going to be one of those, the person broke up the fight, but it's going to be one of those things that, I think it'll get out to the people that it needs to get out to, and for the casual people, it's not going to mean a different buy, you know. So I don't think you announce it. I think it's better that you don't announce it.
Okay, so have you got anything else on your list here?
I have a couple of things. One, I want to leave. One, yeah, a couple quick. One, I want to leave the Bubba the Love Sponge or the Hulk Hogan sex tape thing for Impact, right?
Yeah.
But I want to hit a couple of historical things that are a little more local and just a quick hit thought on everything. And again, you just talk about how time flies when you're oh so having fun. We just, as I said, it was Brian Gewirtz released on Canadian Thanksgiving. Also Canadian Thanksgiving in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, 20 years ago, Bret Hart beat Ric Flair for the WWF title.
Holy shit, really?
20 years ago.
Wow.
I wrote that down when I realized it happened in 92, and here we are in 2012. So, fuck, I mean, you just think of everything that's gone on with Bret Hart since then.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny, Bret Hart was, I think, 35 when he got that belt?
I think so,
yeah. I think he was just 35, I believe. And so that's what the age of John Cena is now, where he's breaking down, and they're worried he's not going to be able to go that much longer.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Making new stars, that's crazy. What a different era.
Well, I know. You can take some things for therapy and such, but for Cena. But, no, I just look at, I mean, that was one of the... I mean, it stands out to me when you talk about holy shit moments in wrestling.
No question.
When, you know...
We weren't Observer newsletter subscribers. There was no internet.
Yeah.
There was a hotline thing, but I don't think I called it that week. I'm watching, and I hear the new WWE champion. And I'm still thinking, because Ric Flair had just, like, 6 weeks ago or something earlier, something like that, won the title back from fucking...
Randy Savage.
So I'm just thinking they're still announcing him as that. I'm like, okay, here's Ric Flair. That's cool. Fucking Bret Hart's music plays, and I fucking
Well, and I remember thinking Randy Savage won the title back. Because that's who he's feuding with, right? And I'm like, oh, Randy Savage won the title back.
Bret
Hart. He wasn't even in the picture. This came totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
And it was just like, I remember my brother and I are sitting there, and we're like, holy shit. Literally, yeah. I mean,
well,
so...
we can't get any more, and that sucks. A moment like that.
Well, no, that's true. We get it, I guess you really can't. No, you really couldn't. I mean, the closest holy shit moment that you got the most recent holy shit moment you got was because you were in the middle of the woods when Benoit offed himself and his family, and I'm there's no way to get a hold of you, and
yeah,
it's like, I'm like, holy shit, Mo, you gotta know about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I didn't even get my text from you, because, I mean, it came back at, like, 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
And the next day, I woke up, I didn't check my text or anything like that, though you had left a message to my sister. The moment Mo
called, yes, the second
he fucking called, I don't care
what time it is.
You told her, she had, but obviously I didn't run into her, but
I said, it could be 2 in the morning, I don't care.
Yeah,
have him call me.
Yeah, I get up the next morning, and I see Chris Benoit dead, and Nancy's dead, so my first thought, car crash, right?
Or, yeah, something that way, right? Yeah.
My first thought, the car crash has killed both of them.
Yeah.
And then from there. But let's not get into that now.
No.
Let's talk about Benoit in the near future a little more.
Yeah,
let's
can go into that. I did want to also talk about this. We look at Bret Hart was 20 years ago. Brian Pillman passed away 15 years ago now.
That's crazy.
That was the other one. I saw Bret Hart. I thought, oh shit, it's been 15 since Pillman passed away, right?
Yeah.
So just a couple of, again, for us being in Calgary here, local deals, right? So that was October the 9th, I believe, was Pillman. The Bad Blood pay-per-view that saw the first ever Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
And the debut of Kane.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start to think about, things like that, Owen Hart beating Farouk for the Intercontinental title, right? I mean, you think of what had happened, an incredible flag match. No, probably not. But,
no, that was pretty shitty.
Yeah, it was. A lot of stuff happening, you know.
Up.
So.
Right. You got anything else there?
But no, that was all that I'd,
Webster's dad.
Hmm? Yes, George Papadopoulos.
That's it.
He's dead.
Mr. Snuffleupagus?
Yes. Yeah, Big Bird was on Saturday Night Live.
Alex Karras, who did do some wrestling, passed away. For me, though, you talk about Webster. For me, it's that he was Mongol. Blazing Saddle, fucking punched the horse. Like one of the great moments ever.
Webster did?
Webster did. Yeah, Webster punched the horse.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you...
He was a mini.
Oh, yeah. A pony. It was actually a donkey. It was a donkey punch.
It was a donkey punch. All right. You got anything else there?
No.
Should we watch Impact? Or should we see if Tammy and...
you want to see if they're back? Yeah. Well, they're going to call us, so maybe we'll just wait till after.
Wait till after Impact.
If they call us during...
I'll send both of them a text and let them know that we're going to watch Impact. So not to call now.
Yeah, tell them to call, about half hour, 15 minutes after.
It's
all about the game.
I'm prepared. It's been a hell of a long time since we played a game.
Bound for Glory Go Home show we're about to watch here.
Yeah, so it should suck.
I have
one other topic I want to bring up after we talk to Tammy and the game, and then we got Impact. So let's go get some food and,
yes, and watch some Impact.
And watch some Impact, and we will be back, folks, in a moment to you.
Just a moment to you, absolutely. All right, we're back after watching Impact.
Yeah, pretty good go home show. Found some really good pizza. Hopefully my audio is back.
Oh, hopefully? Yes, we had some technical difficulties we encountered after, or that we realized after. So, yes, you can probably hear Mo now. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately it was me that was having some audio problems instead of Addy.
It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
What can you do?
Yeah.
That's a good impression. Now order a Big Mac.
Like a Big Mac for Stone Cold E.T.? Type in Stone Cold E.T. in YouTube, folks. You will not regret it.
No, you won't. You won't. All right, go home show, decent, right?
Yeah, decent. I mean, the show, it opens with, what did it open with? They had what?
Trying to remember.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah, it was AJ and, not AJ, it was Daniels and...
World
Tag Team Champions of the World.
Uh-huh.
Against, out in the ring, talking to Hogan and Sting.
Well, the opening thing was the match, right, with James Storm and Austin Aries.
Oh, that was
opened
that
it, and then Bobby
Roode
came in.
Right.
But the big first thing, you're right, was Sting and Hogan come out to the ring.
That was the first thing that really entertained me.
Yeah.
Daniels is awesome.
And the World Tag Team Champions of the World come out. Kaz called Sting Heath. and Hogan's underlips again.
Yeah, and he could do that every week.
Oh, that was awesome. And again, the whole thing was, you don't, earlier, before they come out, they were planting seeds of dissension between AJ and Kurt Angle.
Yes, tag team partners who don't get along.
Yes, strange.
Teenage Drake, the staple.
So,
the Teenage Straple?
Straple! Mm. Wes Briscoe was there.
Oh, that was the best part.
Yeah, that guy's got just, he oozes charisma.
Nope. The prospect, seriously, what happens is, Briscoe's asking if he can tag along with fucking Kurt Angle
to
fucking Arizona.
You gotta let me.
Yeah, and then AJ comes in, right? And AJ's like, I gotta talk to him, and so Briscoe needs to leave. And he leaves with this pout on his face.
Yeah.
It's basically like, yeah, come on. This big pouty lip, and it was just like the fucking dumbest, like, lamest, like, least masculine thing you've ever seen in your entire life.
Holy.
And I've seen a picture of Addy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. With the big penis. But the whole thing was that,
I know, you did. What was that doing in your mouth?
I was thirsty. You had Sting and Hogan.
Those moments where you just know you're going to regret saying it, but you couldn't resist. I've had a few.
Penises?
In your mouth? Wait, no, no. We're not that kind of show.
Fuck it.
We're classy.
Right.
It's true.
We don't class this place up, you know.
Yeah.
Sting and Hogan out. They're talking about Bully Ray, but then the World Tag Team Champions of the World come out. They talk about how you can't trust Bully Ray. You need to cancel our tag match at Bound for Glory, put in Kurt Angle, and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Because it wouldn't just be Chavo and Hernandez
right.
against them
yeah.
now.
Exactly.
Whatever, the heels.
You got to cancel it, right? So
yeah.
Everything leads up to...
Because they don't want the paycheck of being on Bound for Glory.
Oh, yeah.
They want those millions and millions of people ordering it.
I want millions of people to order this, right? But,
That's what Magnus said, by
Magnus
the
way. Said that to Joe. We're not going to fight tonight because we're going to do this on pay-per-view because I want millions of people to order it.
Yeah.
To see me beat you.
So apparently he's planning to wrestle him also at WrestleMania.
No, well, I mean, I have no... He said he wants millions of people.
Okay.
I mean, Joe does too.
I'm sure Joe wants it.
Yes.
And maybe millions of people will see it eventually, like, over the next decade and a half on YouTube.
I don't think a million people have seen Bound for Glory total. Like, really?
All the
Bound for Glories. I'm on
all the Bound for Glories and all the versions and ways they could see it.
How many Bound for Glories have there been?
Pay-per-views.
If TNA is 10 years old, think of this, then there's been, what, 6 Bound for Glories?
7? 2005, we know, right?
So. Okay, so 7, this will be the 8th Bound for Glories. So if there's been 7 Bound for Glories, and if they got 100,000 people to see each one, that would be 100,000, or that would be 700,000 people.
Yeah.
In total, that have seen any Bound for Glory. Or all the, like, any version of Bound for Glory.
Yeah, I mean, how many DVDs are they selling? What, 20?
6.
25?
Yeah. Well, that's 10 times more.
Gives you maybe another...
10 times more than there are cable channels.
That's true.
So.
That's true. Yeah. Basically, good lord, your dog has gotten extra dumb in the last few
minutes. Oh, my God. I don't know what he's doing, but...
He thinks we want to play with him.
I know. He's a fuck.
tell him to go lie the fuck down.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Throw the toy for him. Like, that's going to get him to stop thinking you want to play.
Well, stop. Anyway, Bound for Glory.
Yeah.
Anyways, just to
get to it, here's what was added. Bully Ray, just quickly, because it was...
Yeah, Bully Ray come down, and what they basically did was then they set up... Bully Ray and Sting against the World Tag Team Champions of the World, basically
yeah.
to say, you know, because Hogan's going, I'm not sure I trust this guy, and so Hogan or Sting is going, no, I want Bully Ray. He's really pulling for Bully Ray to be in this, and so
he believes in Bully Ray. Hogan doesn't trust them.
Sting is the one guy that believes in Bully Ray.
Yeah, which makes me think that Bully Ray is not going to turn.
No, which makes me think he is, because Sting is the stupidest babyface in history. Remember this. Sting has been turned on, like, how many times? Sting
is Hogan.
Not as many. Sting,
you sure?
Yeah. Who's turned?
Sure?
Beefcake gets turned on him.
Orndorff.
Savage. I don't know if you could say Andre turned on him. I guess you could.
Andre, yeah.
I mean,
it was a little bit, not quite as, yeah.
But Sting, I mean, the Horseman turned on him. Luger turned on him. WCW turned on him. Yes, Sting's been, Savage turned on him. But it's usually the way that it happens.
Flair turned on him. He said Horseman, so I guess I can't.
Well, Flair turned on him a few times.
Yeah.
Like six.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's pretty stupid. How do you reckon that? What a fucking moron.
Yes. So anyway, that's the thing. Sting's the only one that believes in Bully Ray. So Bully Ray says, let me prove it to you tonight. So they have a match later with the World Tag Team Champions of the World.
Yeah.
That's what this sets up.
Which they lose by disqualification because Sting pushes Bully Ray and says, Bully... get the table. Bully Ray gets the table, and they put Daniels through the table.
Daniels through the table.
Causing the disqualification.
And the big that's the big point in the match, is that Sting thinks that it's 2004. Also, that the other part
is
that...
good, because Hogan thinks it's 1994.
That's true, with the point. That's 96, I guess. The Scott Hall finger point.
Yeah.
But I think the big thing is... the other thing that really pisses me off with Hogan, just it's a bit, it's one of my like Hogan pet peeves, Stingmon.
Yeah.
When he says that.
Why?
And it just sounds retarded. It's Stingmon. The fuck? So now he's a Rastafarian.
Maybe he thinks that Kofi Kingston is actually Sting.
That's true. They seem so similar. So similar.
I've seen Kofi do the Stinger Splash.
I have too, actually. I have too.
Yeah.
So, speaking of which, the Stinger Splash. Oh, that was Shelton Benjamin that did it.
Yeah, I've seen both.
Yeah.
Have we ever seen Shelton Benjamin and Kofi Kingston in the ring at the same time?
I wanted to know if we've ever seen Shelton Benjamin and Dolph Ziggler together in the same room, because they seem to be the exact same people to me right now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think it's just a matter of time.
The dyed blonde hair?
I think it's just a matter of time before Dolph does not give a fuck.
Yeah, you could be. You could be right.
Yeah.
You could be right.
So you can tell this Impact show was great because we were very...
Well, no, what we're saying here is like I say, is you did the right thing with Bully.
Well,
Ray, you added RVD versus Zema Ion for the X Division Championship, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
You did the right thing with the World Tag Titles, with the women. Like, you did the right thing everywhere, but there just wasn't any real excitement to anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was just everything's a setup, it's a placeholder. It's like, here's the last few things we have to do to remind you what these things are.
Yeah.
We've done the right things, but because you fucked up the momentum coming into it,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter if you did this good, it still just doesn't leave us excited. And it's not a particularly good show, just because you did the right things booking-wise,
mm-hmm.
doesn't mean that it was like a tremendously entertaining show. It was.
I think the other key point in the Bully Ray Sting match is each man saved each other from like a sneak attack
mm-hmm.
to prove the story of Kiss was, you know, Bully Ray did it first.
Yes, because Hogan's like, yes, you're going to prove it this one time and prove it tonight. Because, you know, if he's going to turn on you at Bound for Glory because he's actually a member of Aces and Eights,
mm-hmm.
You know, he's absolutely going to fuck it up earlier tonight
mm-hmm.
and turn
yeah.
on you. Yeah, that's the way it would go. So everything
happens.
He did tonight really means something.
Yeah.
That psychology is stupid. Here's the thing against me. They showed Aces and Eights with fucking Abyss or Chris Parks again or whatever.
Yeah, beating
or whatever.
Him.
Yeah, so they're like, he's fine, as you can see, and they throw him some food, and he eats. He scarfs it down like he hasn't eaten in a week.
Yeah, and he's got like a mustache, like he hasn't shaved.
Yeah, so I don't think anymore it's going to be that Chris Parks
now, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be that
he's so big, there's more than one.
Yeah, he's hungry.
Stockholm Syndrome?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing Stockholm Syndrome, and that's what's going to cause Abyss to come out.
Mm.
That's what they're doing. That's the angle they're doing.
Okay.
He's gonna associate with his captors, or you know.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I can't think of Stockholm Syndrome really being done in wrestling and really working. So fuck, if they can pull it off, fine.
Yeah, yeah, no, and that could work. You know who they didn't think, or they tried to have Stockholm Syndrome with, but couldn't, was Ludvig Borga.
Mm. Yeah, no, because Stockholm, Sweden is in Finland.
No, it's next door.
Oh.
That's why it didn't work.
Oh.
See? See where I'm going with that?
You know that the Finland aren't actually Scandinavia.
Who?
Finland. It's not part of Scandinavia.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, well, there you go. I thought Ludwig Borga was Russian.
Hmm. Was he?
Nope.
No? Oh.
I just thought so.
He's an environmentalist.
Yes, he was.
he's dead now.
Well, he was. Didn't say.
Hmm? He was dead?
He was.
Oh.
He is now.
He's alive again?
Yeah, he played the zombie on ECW.
Yes, that's true. Born again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Much like Shawn Michaels.
All right. Fuck, are we ever convincing here?
I know. I'm trying to think of anything else of note. Tara's boyfriend is going to be at Bound for Glory, they announced. So Tara's going to be the unveil of whoever her Hollywood
and
man.
And Austin Aries turned full-heeled at the end.
Yes.
Attacking Jeff Hardy as Jeff Hardy was leaving the ring.
Kicking him
in the balls and then hitting the brainbuster move on the belt. Was it on the belt?
I think it was on the belt. Whatever it was, it's low-rent CM Punk.
Yeah.
I'm going to he brought out the promo that I've got some things to say, and I'm not going to say what's written on this piece of paper right here, and he scrunched it up and threw it away and just, you know, talked about...
I don't know. He's not so much CM Punk. He's less sleazy and more cocky. So.
Well, yeah, I just mean in terms of the I'm shooting now, brother.
Oh, yeah, that,
you know,
yeah.
that part of it, and he's talked about his rap sheet, you know, and Jeff Hardy's, you know.
Rap sheet.
And that's what got ooh, and then he's like,
and then
he followed it up with something stupid, like you're too crippled to play with your kids. It's like,
which is what he said. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not
jealous over your rap sheet. I'm not jealous that you're too broken down to even bend over and play with your daughter.
Yeah. So I mean, it's.
And Jeff Hardy said, you know, right now my balls hurt, my neck hurts.
Well, the best part was his big comeback was after a match, he's like, my balls hurt.
He did, because he had a match against
Robert Roode,
he beat by disqualification from a low blow.
Yeah.
And he goes, my balls hurt, my neck hurts, and on Sunday I'm going to end you.
Your cocky ass.
Yeah.
So that's why his balls hurt.
Yeah,
you can end his cocky ass.
Yeah. Like much like Michael Jackson, except for that was just he was just into a little ass.
Yeah, yeah. What does Jeff Hardy and Jerry Sandusky have in common?
We're fucking horrible people.
We are. That was the man they call B. That was one of his lost gems.
That's right in that show that we lost.
Yes.
The show that we recorded that never got out, yeah.
But,
yeah, we'll do that again.
We will, yeah. But anyway, I'm trying to think if there was anything else of note that you mentioned, the Zema Ion against Rob Van Dam for the X Division title. They're talking about, I mean, you look at, I've already seen it online, people are talking about, well, Rob Van Dam's not X, he doesn't look like he's X Division caliber, right? And what you have to, like, you know, in terms of, because they changed it basically to a cruiserweight belt. You know, it used to be about, it's not about weight limits. Well, they changed that and put a weight limit to it, and they're going, well, how does Rob Van Dam fit in that category? And the answer to that is that they did this study back, God, even before Rob Van Dam was wrestling. This must have been about 86, 87. And it turns out that the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man does not weigh that much.
Mm. Yeah, he's looking old. He's looking bloated. Long way to go for something not that funny. But nevertheless, he's looking old. He's looking bloated. I bet they put the belt on him.
What does Rob Van Dam and Jerry Sandusky? The weed.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
That's Sabu.
That's Sabu, man. No, he's, he probably put the belt on him, so, I don't know. I'm not sure, I imagine the World Tag Team Champions of the World will retain.
Well, my thought there is that the World Tag Team Champions of the World will retain, and then Hogan has to bite the bullet because there's going to be two members of Aces and Eights that somehow get a World Tag Team title shot or in line for it, and Hogan has to go and swallow his pride and ask Kazarian and Daniels for help, And I think that's going to make for excellent television.
Oh, yeah.
And but that, to me, is the way that it happens. And Aces and Eights, that's how they get the tag titles.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that
trend. You heard that Matt Morgan and D'Lo Brown, you're hearing, could be part of Aces and Eights?
Matt Morgan and D'Lo Brown, possibly part of it. I mean, and that makes sense from the fact with D'Lo Brown is, remember they had that one meeting with that boom, boom, boom camera, and they're like, it could be any of us in this room. And it's like, what the fuck is D'Lo Brown there? Like, like, that made no sense. Like, with that Sesame Street thing, one of these things just doesn't belong here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is D'Lo Brown in that, when he had Pritchard and Dixie and Hogan and Sting and even Al Snow.
Yeah.
And then D'Lo Brown's there. It's like,
so there's something different about Al or about D'Lo Brown than all those other people you mentioned? What would that be?
He used to be a European champion.
Oh, okay. That's not with Al Snow.
Oh, that's true. He was the Eurocontinental champion.
Al Snow was not.
He was not. That's what's different about it.
What does Al Snow and Jim Sandusky have in common?
Jerry Sandusky.
Both of them.
I know. What does everybody heads. Want?
Little heads.
Yeah, and D'Lo Brown. Talking about head.
Talking about head. Shaking it around. Oh, fuck.
There's Dixie Carter put a wear on.
I imagine we're horrible people, right?
Dixie Carter, I remember, thought that there was huge money in his first, when he came in his first run, and he was tag teaming with, like, AJ Styles.
Yeah.
D'Lo Brown thought there was huge money in D'Lo Brown bobbleheads.
Yeah.
And had, like, a whole warehouse of them that are probably sitting there today.
Right now, I believe, yeah. I believe that they're not sitting there now. I mean, they're in the same.
Actually, they were probably thrown in those 99-cent grab bags.
No, they're in the same junk pile in the same dump as the E.T. Atari games.
Really?
Yeah.
Was it Stone Cold E.T.?
Stone Cold E.T.
Walter Cheeseburger.
You have to watch that YouTube video.
Oh, yeah, that is
fucking amazing. Don't get sucked into watching most of the other ones there. The guy did, but definitely watch that one.
Stone Cold, Mankind, he did really well.
Mankind was, his imitations were generally pretty good.
Yeah.
The opening, like 30 seconds of the Vince McMahon.
Yeah, when he drives through the drive through and points at the drive through and he goes, "You're fired!" And then just drives away.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So.
I'm just trying to say, I think that was pretty much Impact.
Yeah, so, like I say, I mean, I big. Tag team championships retain, I believe. I believe Miss Deathmarker retains.
See, I don't. I think that Tara with her new man will go that way.
Actually, you're probably right.
Transition over to ODB, right?
Yeah.
It's Tara. If it's Eric Young, right? As we suspect it will be. The other thing, I mean, again, when we talk about this, to me, is not turning point.
So the tag champion, the women's tag team champions, Eric Young and ODB,
ODB.
Those titles aren't being defended at the biggest pay-per-view of the year?
No. Well, you know, they could be in the pre-show. Right? See, there you go. But
that could very well be Joey Ryan versus Al Snow.
Yes. Well, I think every match that they've announced is going to be...
Joey Ryan's got to win that.
Yeah, this is really a kind of a turning point for TNA. And that,
oh, that's earlier in the year.
Oh. Huh. I didn't see that.
Huh. Me either.
Oh.
Nobody. You and everybody else.
You know, millions wanted to order it.
Yeah, but they didn't.
But I think that you can look at, you know, Aries should be Jeff Hardy. And keep going, right? It's what's right for the future.
For the I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah, Jeff Hardy probably wins it.
And then the World Tag Team
Storm has to beat Rude.
I think Rude beats Storm and King Mo becomes Rude's bodyguard, right?
That could happen.
But then I look at what are the titles? Well, again, Zema Ion should beat Rob Van Dam.
But probably won't.
But he won't, right? You know, whether now it could be Hairspray in the Face DQ, keep the title on Ion, and Rob Van Dam win.
I don't know, do you do that at your biggest pay-per-view? I mean,
well, it's not the main event. It'll be like your second match, right?
Yeah.
It'll be after the Joey Ryan Al Snow match, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't matter really, right?
Yeah.
But then, and you've got the World Tag Team Champions.
Joe retains, so I would actually probably put it on...
I think it's too early to beat Joe for it, But I want it on Magnus, ultimately, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if it's the next pay-per-view, perhaps, that it goes... So there's two ways. I like Magnus as a character. I think Magnus should get a title to run with, and this is the minor title for him to be able to do it.
Yeah.
That said, I like the concept of Samoa Joe wrestling on my TV. I say every week. He didn't wrestle tonight.
No, but roughly all the time. He offered to.
He did. He did.
Offered to. But you wanted to wait. You didn't want to have, 1.5 million people watch tonight. When millions are going to watch on...
I want millions to order the pay-per-view, was what he said. And so I find no fault in this, because that's what he wants.
We have millions to pay, yeah.
That really got our rise, though, because we both looked at each other like, oh, yeah.
Thanks. You could have worded it so many other ways.
I know, I know.
But, okay, so, and you have, okay, and you
dream
have,
on.
Aces and Eights versus,
that one.
And the thing is, I figure Aces and Eights, we should get some payoff here. I wish I cared as much as I did 3 weeks ago. But
3 weeks ago, I wish I cared 3 months ago as much. You
yeah,
know what
both,
I mean? Like that.
Both, and I cared less all the time, but even 3 weeks ago, I cared a lot more now.
Yeah.
Like it was always eroding, but it really has fallen off the cliff now, at a greater speed over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
But either way, I wish I cared, but I don't know exactly how they're going to do it. I don't know exactly.
I'm curious still.
Exactly. It's still a little bit of curiosity. It's the thing that is like you're paying for that moment, that reveal, that
build. Exactly.
So
that said, though, given the fact that they went off the air. I do think that the world title match is closing the show.
I don't. I still think Aces and Eights versus Sting and whatever, but we'll see.
Yeah,
either one could close the show, but
it does depend on...
So we should get some payoff here, and, you know, Aces and Eights, and they should win, but the question is, where do they go from here? Does somebody turn? Does anybody reveal themselves? I mean, obviously, it depends on whether or not Wes Briscoe does something early in the night in the tag team one, or what's going on with that too. So there's a lot of balls in the air.
Yeah,
you know, and
wave them like you just don't care.
Yeah, well,
I
sometimes do.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? You got to air it out.
Mm-hmm. It's like dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that.
Well, that way I don't have to shower.
It's true. Is that what that is?
Hmm.
That's
what that is.
Huh.
You thought it was the dog.
Funky. Yeah. I think that, I don't know if you do a reveal or a partial reveal. I mean, you don't reveal the brains of the operation yet, I don't think. I think you could still, I think you're going to be in reveal stage, though. I think that's
the next. That's the thing. You need a big reveal, but I don't think you have to do the biggest reveal.
I think the concept now is maybe, I mean, if you want to reveal one by one who they are, or, you know what I mean, like every week, or...
you can do that, or like I say, Bully Ray turns, and it's like, okay, he's there, but I'm not the leader type deal, and then, you know, you do all sorts of shit.
Well, you can start it out, and then people go, well, Bully Ray's the leader, oh, I'm not the leader.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? You know, that's the kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So, the benefactor, if you will.
Do you want to give Tammy and...
we told them
Damian and Darlin, they're ready to give us a call.
Okay, they get text? Yeah, so... All right. Let's pick it up here. We've got it on the line. Hi, is this Damian or Tammy?
Hey, it's Damian.
Damian, how are you?
I'm great, man. How are you doing? Oh, fuck sakes! Oh, sorry. Fucking bitch, what the...
Are you guys...
What the hell are you... I deserve that
Damian,
one.
Damian,
that one I just walked in.
Are you there?
Earlier. You know what? I shouldn't have talked back. Right. Ow,
Damian, I just wondered if we could get a word.
Jesus! Somebody call the cops!
Okay, we just got to cut that off. I was getting uncomfortable there.
So it sounds to me like they've been working things out.
This Dr. Shelby.
It looks like the future for their relationship is strong.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. That seems it seems like they're going to work things out. So
I think it seems that way.
Yeah,
going in the right direction.
Yeah.
Which is good to see. But I'm happy for those kids.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it earlier. You know, the fact is, I mean, it's just so funny that Sunny, the first thing that she does is she gets out of jail again and she goes right to the house.
Yeah, that's the fifth time in a month.
Yeah, and the best part was that she went back. Her story, too, was great, is that she went back, he wasn't home, and she thought she could just get her stuff and before he got home and leave. And she didn't think there was anything wrong with that. You know, breaking into his house
mm-hmm.
to get her stuff and then go.
That's why she has a $100,000 bail. But what I like is that a week
cash.
Earlier... Yeah, cash. What I like is that a week earlier, when they have a restraining order on her against him, she worked the indie show with him.
Yeah, they did something. They were together
like
in an
interview
indie show.
Together.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like
so,
made out. Well, you know what? Look at that. Look at say they're intelligent people.
Yeah.
So I mean, and
well,
good. Obviously, we heard tonight that obviously they made a lot of progress.
Yeah.
In their latest.
And she was a former wrestler in WWE as well. Which is why I can believe so strongly in her. But I do believe in karma.
Yeah.
And Tammy Sitch, Sonny, was a massive cunt.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, like, huge.
Fucked
like,
around.
I mean, we talked a bit about...
Well, I mean, there's Shawn Michaels. That wasn't the only one she fucked with. While she was with...
Oh,
God. With Chris Candido. She fucked with... She fucked somebody else who was, like... married and stuff like that.
Well,
not Brett, but you
just
know,
that attitude
she fucked Davey Boy.
Somebody walked
no,
by.
She had with Davey Boy and Diana. And
uh-huh.
He cheated on.
Who'd you hear that from?
Sonny.
Hmm? Oh, Sonny said that?
Sonny said
oh,
that.
Okay.
Yeah, that she cheated on, or that Davey Boy cheated on Diana with her.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah.
What a boy, Davey. But she was hot then. Now she,
yeah.
But again, just
what
because there's tons of stories, even in the ECW arena, of people like walking by her, brushing up against her shoes, and her making them like shine her shoes.
Yeah.
Other wrestlers shine their shoes. It's like, she's just a cunt. Yeah. And so it was like, I mean, we talked earlier, we saw, and he's going into the Hall of Fame, right?
Yeah.
The Sting, they call him the Icon Sting. Well, like, Sonny, similar vein, is the Icon.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, she just.
Which actually
classic.
Brings me to my thing. She is a legitimate WWE Hall of Famer. She's inducted.
She is.
So what does it take to get somebody kicked out of the Hall of Fame? I mean, she's probably not there yet. But what do you think it should be? So at what point in time do you think a WWE should look at revoking somebody in the Hall of Fame? What would she have to do? They're probably at this point regretting putting her in there a couple of years ago.
I don't think so.
I think they probably are, though they probably don't care that much.
I don't
probably,
think they
they're
care
probably
at
like,
all.
They're probably like, yeah, would have been better if we didn't have the bitch in. But I don't think they give a shit.
I was going to say, I don't think they give a shit at all.
Yeah, well,
and in terms
but either
of,
way, what should it be? What's the thing to make WWE say, you know what, we got to take them out. We don't want this. We don't want this person going to autograph sessions and saying WWE Hall of Famer, which is what she can say right now and make more money.
Well, no, because she can't get out of jail.
Yeah, good point.
So
that's how she makes
$100,000. No. I mean, you know who should get in the Hall of Fame now I think about it so that they could say WWE Hall of Famer and all his autograph sessions is Virgil.
Yeah.
But,
Well, it says Virgil, bodyguard of WWE Hall of Fame.
There you
Ken
go.
DiBiase at the
And it's
at the
bodyguard and really, did it really say that?
Yeah, it's
like bodyguard in like really small letters.
Well,
that'd be awesome.
Around. I mean, Ted DiBiase is good dude. He's letting him, you know, soak off that.
Yeah,
there was another ancient.
He pays him well.
Yeah, well, no, he didn't.
Yeah,
yeah, his son did. What? Yeah. Remember when Virgil was with Ted DiBiase Jr.?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah,
Virgil's awesome.
That was great in a bad way.
Yeah,
but you know, seriously. So what does it take to get kicked out?
I don't
out
know
of
because it to me. I mean, I look at. A situation where, like, what should it take? What it would take? I mean, I don't even know because honestly, what you'd be looking at is, I think something like a Benoit thing would have to happen.
Benoit,
where
that's an obvious one.
No, but if
I mean, not going to that level.
Well, then nothing because
nothing? No.
What it would take to get kicked out. Is massive publicity and Nancy Grace or someone like that going, this man, the WWE, he's a wrestling Hall of Famer, isn't he? He's in their Hall of Fame, is he not? And then that is correct. You know, an Alvarez or a Meltzer, that is correct. He is in their Hall of Fame. And that's when you would, and if that gets some play and some buzz, then you send out a press release saying that we are revoking blah, blah, blah. We're excommunicating them from the Hall of Fame, not the nation, but from
well,
the Hall of Fame.
Obviously, all this is on Vince's whim. But, you're
well,
right.
And that's just it. Because, I mean, ultimately, they don't care. There is no physical Hall of Fame where you go in.
Mm-hmm.
Because all they'll do, if someone does something like a Sonny and is a massive fuck-up and it gets no publicity, is They're just not going to mention it.
Well, I wouldn't say it got no publicity. There was an article today in local in news.
Local.
It was, well, okay, it was statewide.
Till the New York
Times,
you know what I mean, or gets picked up on headline news or something.
Yeah,
you know,
TMZ carried it.
Yeah,
okay, TMZ has some reach, though, nationally, internationally.
Well, they do, but they're just a gossip site. So, I mean, that would be, you know, like a, you know, that would be back in the day less, I don't know, like a current affair, you know, when they're doing those steroids.
Yeah, a little bigger
stuff,
than that,
right?
I think that, but yeah, probably.
I think
they're both the same.
I mean, the only thing they have
is
the internet.
How about this?
But
I'll throw this one past you.
Okay.
Is Ken Patera a Hall of Famer?
A WWF Hall of Famer?
Yes.
Again, I wouldn't put him in.
Accomplishment-wise, he certainly is.
He was Intercontinental Champion.
Yeah, and he had a long reign back, and he was good with the belt.
He didn't have a long reign for the time, though. Compared to now, sure. But back then,
that
was standard. Yeah, 8 months, that
was
standard. That's what
was he a two-time champion or just one time? I think it was two times.
Yeah, I think he was, he might have been the first two-time champion.
Yeah.
But that's what Pedro Morales got, that 8 months. That's what Chico got. That's what Greg Valentine got. That's what Randy Savage got. That was your standard
reign. The thing
reign,
is, if you
right?
look at what his accomplishments compared to, say, Tito Santana, it's a pretty equivalent. You know?
I think longevity, though, Chico gets it.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Chico gets that stalwart, that long-standing guy.
But again, I could look at people who accomplished less than him.
Coco Beware.
Well, yeah, obviously.
But I mean, that's the thing. I don't think you do Nikolai Volkov, you know, well, Ken Patera against Nikolai Volkov. I mean, that WrestleMania 4 Battle Royal. USA is in. Oh, there goes USA, Euchre.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You know, Creed and Declare on a revivalist? John Fogerty.
But, again, let's...
But anyway, no, I mean, I personally would not put... I'm not saying I wouldn't put Ken Patera in, but there's a lot of people I would put ahead of Ken Patera, I guess, at this point.
But my question isn't, would you put him in? Like, is he next on your list? That's not my fucking
no,
question.
No, I know, but...
My question is,
I would
the fact
consider
that he would spend time in jail, a couple of years in jail, is that enough to keep him out?
The reason I say no, okay, is because he got out of jail, and they fucking turned a babyface about it.
Yep.
Like, he was the babyface guy that went to jail for choking on a female cop.
Yeah.
Right? And it was Bobby Heenan's fault for some reason.
Yeah.
I never understood.
Well, Bobby Heenan didn't support him all
No cards, no letters or nothing. Not even a phone call or nothing, Heenan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember those interviews where he sat in the thing. But, no, I mean, to me, that's what... I mean, it's not even that he went to jail. It's that they turned it into a storyline, right? And made it seem, you know,
I'll say this, I would have a main just for him having one of the best finishing moves ever.
The full Nelson?
The swinging full Nelson.
Yeah.
The way he did it, it just looks so awesome.
Yeah.
He was legit crazy strong.
Yeah, well, I think if you're putting in guys for their full Nelson, you put in Hercules.
No. Or Billy Jack Haynes, no. All right, do you want to play the game here, or do you have anything else?
Billy Jack Haynes would be an awesome speech, though.
Fucking right it was. Fucking right.
Aliens have taken over the Hall of Fame, man.
And fucking nails can fucking induct them.
Oh, that would be tremendous.
All right, let's, I got a game here. We haven't played one of these
We haven't long. Played a game in a long time. Can we talk about Bubba the Love Sponge?
Oh, we haven't played a game since we came back. I thought we'd close on Bubba, but let's close on the game then. Go ahead.
Close on Bubba, huh?
Yeah.
You know, closed on Bubba's wife.
Yeah. That's remember we're watching Impact and you're sitting there going, Hogan's looking at Bully Ray and he's talking to him and you're like, yes, brother. I'm thinking, he's thinking about fucking your wife because your name's Bubba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's, but the thing is, so it gets out that the sex tape, is in Bubba the Love Sponge house with Bubba the Love Sponge then wife, I guess. They're not married.
Yeah, he and Heather, have had a nasty, nasty divorce. He's not even allowed to say anything about it. Like, he's not allowed to talk about it or say anything about it. They had a really nasty divorce.
Okay.
That said, I mean, obviously he offered his wife to fuck him. He offered other people his wife to fuck, too.
Yeah, he said that he actually offered Howard Stern, said that...
Well, that's one of many.
Yeah.
Anyway. Many
times. Yeah. So they did that, and Hogan took him up on it.
Yeah.
And they taped it. And I guess at the end, now the videos come out at the end where Bubba walks in and, you know, and says, you know, well, if we ever want to retire,
Yeah.
You know, we can just let this out, right?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
You know, get this out. So, what are your thoughts on that?
Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. Yeah. My, everybody, I love how they're talking about how Hogan knows more than what he's letting on because he's worried. Hogan's in on this.
Oh, absolutely.
Hogan is
completely. This is the best wrestling angle Hogan's come up with over the last several years. And it's a wrestling angle he's evolved in.
Yeah.
And he's working everybody. Everybody's working everybody, and they're going to make some money off of it.
Yeah, and that's all.
And who cares at the end of the day? So he fucks somebody. Ooh, people fuck all the time.
Well,
it's poorly lit, and it's a hot chick, and he's an old man.
I will.
Who gives a fuck?
Well, I'll tell you what happened.
Kim Kardashian has less. Paris Hilton did it first. Kim Kardashian has less talent than anybody. She fucks. She not only fucked somebody. She took anal in the video and took a load to the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
She was,
thanked her for that.
Yeah, no kidding. But she did. She was so obviously trying to had watched a bunch of sex tapes, said this is what people want. I'm going to recreate it and put it out there, and then used it to push her career off. I think we're way past the point where this matters at all.
Well, and the thing is where I always kind of look at it is, with any of this stuff is, how is this going to affect me?
Yeah, and it isn't.
Well, I'll tell you how it is.
Oh,
a little
okay.
Bit. Okay, there's a little bit of how it is because the only way that this could do it is everybody's getting work and everybody. And the X factor in all of this, you're dealing with the X factor.
Yeah,
it works. Yes, and just incredible. It's all about target. But the one X factor in this is a woman named Jennifer.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's Hogan's now wife.
Yeah.
New wife.
When did this occur?
How is she taking this all? Because if this leads to another divorce by Hulk Hogan, we are going to see Hulk Hogan until he is 80.
We're going to see that anyway.
Well, I think at this...
I wish you had been Brooke Hogan in the sex tape instead.
But I'm just looking at, yeah, people are starting to...
I'm surprised that there isn't a sex tape of Hulk Hogan fucking Brooke Hogan.
I'm surprised at that, too.
Yeah.
They've been to Saskatchewan.
Yeah.
But I think that... From an in-ring perspective...
Strange Saskatchewan people.
Yes. I think from an in-ring perspective, I think even Hogan knows that he's done. You know, he's going to say, I can do one more match, brother. But he's always going to say that to get people. That's part of
it. But he wants one. He wants to do
it. I don't know that he does.
No, he does, because he wants the payday.
Well, that's it, is the payday. Yeah. And if he gets another divorce, he's going to need more than one payday.
Not necessarily. I mean, this time, hopefully he signed a fucking prenup. I can only imagine there's a prenup.
Maybe. That's all I'm thinking. We're talking about how...
It's got to be a prenup.
I'm just talking about how this could affect me, is that if Hogan is out money...
And number two, we don't know if this has happened before or after he was with her, but I mean, I'm pretty sure from everything I've heard, I'm pretty sure Hogan's offered his wife, his old wife, and probably his new wife to people too. I mean, fucking, they're swingers, whatever. I don't think she's surprised by all this. I don't think any of this is...
Well, who knows? And it's But that was my thought,
whatever.
Is that it could lead to another divorce situation where he's out of money and then
he... You know what? That was Beefcake he was fucking. My mistake.
Oh, right. Yeah, I thought it was a woman.
Yeah.
But it was Beefcake. But,
anyway.
Right. Well, let's play your game. It's time to play the game.
This game is called Holding Out.
Holding Out.
Yeah, speaking of Hogan sex tape.
Yes.
What
were you holding out?
Well, what this is you're gonna have to try and figure out.
Uh-huh.
In the modern era. We're gonna say the modern era.
The modern era.
It starts from WrestleMania 1.
Really?
And you're gonna try
to
figure
modern?
Out. That's modern? That's to be the modern era.
You're old.
1985.
Yes.
My mistake.
1985. Yeah. Don't get much more modern than 1985.
When the modern era starts.
Ah, you door. But Commodore 64.
Because before then, I wouldn't expect you to know who the longest reigning tag team champions of all time are.
Oh.
I wouldn't expect you to be able to say that. But I would expect you to be able to tell me who
Soul Man Rocky Johnson.
Six longest reigning tag team champions since 1985. If you mention them, I'll tell you what place they're in. I don't expect you to be able to tell me in order.
This is like,
but it is bonus points if you can tell me in order. Who is the longest reigning? Who is the second longest reigning?
Okay.
If you can tell me that, you get bonus points. Mm-hmm. Bonus points for the amount of days, a close estimate, and bonus points for who they beat and lost for the title. So give me the six people.
Bonus.
Six longest reigning, and play along at home, folks.
Okay. So this six is like the family feud on the board here. The top six answers are on the board.
Top six answers
on
the board.
All right.
So who would be, since 1985...
No, we're talking just any tag team?
longest reigning tag team champion.
Of any company?
No, within the WWF.
This is WWF only, okay.
Within WWF.
So it's not the Rock and Roll Express.
No, no, it's WWF, WWE.
Hall of Famers. I'm trying to think of, well, WWE. So in terms of reign, I'm curious, actually, if we're talking longest title reigns, I'm going to open with a lark.
Okay,
and I'm just going to say Paul London and Brian Kendrick.
Very nice. Paul London is 10. No, 6. Sorry, 6. Because we're doing 6.
They hit 6 on the list.
They hit
6
on the list.
Okay.
They are number 6 on the list. You have hit the top 6.
Wow, there you go.
Now, can you tell me how long, who they beat for the title, and who they lost them to?
Did they beat, I'm just wondering, did they beat Kenzo Suzuki and Rene Dupree? No.
No.
I'm just trying to think of who was even around back then in terms of... Because it was the SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Cause they had Raw Tag Champions and SmackDown Tag Champions. Did they beat... were the Pit Bulls the champions? No.
Okay, I'll throw out that. They beat Eminem.
Oh, Eminem, right. Mm.
And who did they lose to? Can you tell me that?
Did they lose to Kenzo Suzuki and Rene?
No, they did not.
No.
Give me one more guess.
I will say my other guess would be Rob Van Dam and Rey Mysterio.
No, no, because they're both all baby faces. Deuce and Domino.
Oh, right, Deuce and Domino.
Deuce and Domino. And guess, bonus points, how many days?
268.
337, 11th okay. month reign.
Wow.
So who else have you got?
Best in the world. In the modern era,
yeah.
I am going to go with the British Bulldogs?
No.
No, yeah, because if you said how many days are three, because this is where I can kind of come in. Is this total number of days, or is this just one reign?
One reign.
Because the British Bulldogs won at WrestleMania 2, they lost it before WrestleMania 3.
Yep.
So they probably are number 7 on the list, I would think, or 8. I mean, they'd have to be pretty close.
They'd probably
to
be
that.
Close.
Yeah. Anyway, if we're looking at... So now what we're looking at is you said 337 days were 11-month reign. So
yep.
Really when we're talking about WWF Tag Team Champions now, we're talking about championships that have been held for basically a year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when I sit back and I think of the when I go in the lineage of the belt and you say the Bulldogs, well then you say, you know, the Hart Foundation. Well, the Hart Foundation didn't hold that title for the year. Well, maybe the Hart Foundation actually they might be number 5 with their when beating the Bulldogs and then losing to Strike Force.
Okay. Any guess? You're saying number 5 on the list.
I'm thinking that, yeah.
They are actually number 2 on the list. Can you make a guess how long they held the belt for?
I don't think it would. It couldn't have been. I'm just trying to think of when all of this went down, because TV was a lot slower back in that day. Because for some reason, I just had a... I had always thought that it was... I thought that they won it in a...
You know, my mistake, these stats, I'm going to give this to you right now. These stats are for combined days.
Yeah, they have to be.
Yeah, they are.
Because there's the Bulls, okay, so... It's okay, so yeah, and then the Hart Foundation, that makes sense. We're talking about total combined days, because they had it for about a year and then there. That would lead me then to say that Demolition is on this list. Here mm-hmm. comes the Axe, here comes the Smasher, mm-hmm. because they... God, we're multiple time, I would say maybe 3 times.
And where do you think they are?
Tag team champions. I would have to say that if Bulldogs are number, or if Howard Foundation number 2, then maybe 3 or 4?
Hey, Demolition is number 1.
1, okay.
Demolition, okay, you want to make a guess on the days?
If we're talking total combined days, they won the title at WrestleMania 4. They didn't lose the title until they won it in March of 1988. They lost.
Who did they beat for it?
They beat the Strike Force.
Okay.
Chico Santana. And they lost to the Brain Busters.
Yeah.
In May.
Nice.
Well, that's when it aired. I guess. I don't know when it was taped, because it was the Memorial Day weekend in the United States, Saturday night's main event,
mm-hmm.
when the Brainbusters had won.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was May and
they
March,
regained
right?
The titles from the Brainbusters as well.
They did. They regained the titles from the Brainbusters. That was not a long reign, because then they lost it to the Colossal Connection.
Under the Giant Haku.
And Haku, only to regain the titles from the Colossal Connection
mm-hmm.
at WrestleMania 6.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would go on, I'm just trying to think here now, they would go on to lose it, I want to say to the Hart Foundation.
Nice.
Yeah.
When?
So, it wasn't at SummerSlam. It was, because the Legion of Doom got involved then. Yeah.
SummerSlam 1990.
Yeah. So there you go. So if we're talking about
698 days.
Shit. I was thinking almost 7. I was thinking 2 years, 700 days.
700 days.
Yeah.
698 days. Pretty damn impressive. Let's see, the Hart Foundation, 483. Of course, you know they beat the British Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Who did they lose it to the first time?
No, Strikeforce.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, you know they already regained it from Demolition for their second time. So
right.
You have a couple left. Who else?
And then they lost it. Christ, I'm trying to think. I mean, you can count the fact that they lost to the Rockers and won it right back, but...
No, you don't count that.
No, because they never...
You
never
should have
heard. But I'm just...
Think back to Hulk Hogan's show.
Hulk Hogan's show?
Yes.
They lost it to Bubba the Love Sponge?
Nope.
Oh, different show.
Yeah. Hulk Hogan knows that. Think back to this.
What's the Nasty Boys at WrestleMania 7. You want to watch WrestleMania 7? Yes, of course. Of course.
All right, so you got three of the six. Who else have you got?
Who else? You know what? I'm thinking even maybe, and it gets a little, again, all those tag team title reigns get a little bit hazy, but how about Money Incorporated? Did they make the list?
Very nice. Very nice job. Money Incorporated are they're number four on the list.
Okay.
Can you say who they won the title from and how many times they have lived?
Well, I'm just trying to think of who the again they did they beat. Was it? Did they beat the Legion of Doom?
They did.
Yeah, they beat the Legion of Doom. Then, of course, they had a couple flip-floppy things. I remember they lost to the Legion of Doom, maybe beat the Legion of Doom. They did that with the Steiner Brothers, too. They beat the Steiner Brothers, lost to the Steiner Brothers, and come back. And the Natural Disasters.
That's right. Three title reigns.
Yeah.
They beat the Legion of Doom, the Steiners, and the Natural Disasters.
Yeah, and then they finally, I think they finally lost it. God, who was it that they finally even lost it to? I think the Steiner Brothers finally, was it?
It's not in here.
Was the final people that they lost
the
it to?
That they didn't say who they lost to?
Because the Steiner Brothers lost, the Steiner Brothers would go on later to lose to the Quebecers.
That's right.
And so I would think, I have this feeling that it
right.
was there, because then it was WrestleMania 9, against Hogan and Beefcake, speaking
right.
of the Devils.
They did not.
And they were the tag champs then.
Yeah.
And then come that same SummerSlam.
They lost that by DQ.
Yeah, they lost by DQ. But come that SummerSlam, it was Ted DiBiase's last match.
That's right.
And it was against Razor Ramon in a singles match.
Yeah.
So somewhere in that summer, they would have had to lost the titles, and I'm going to say it was to the Steiners, a guess. Yeah.
Okay, and amount of days?
They're number four on the list, you said? I would say... 400.
411. Pretty
okay,
fucking good.
Yeah.
So you got two left. I'm curious.
So
we will pull these out.
So we have number six is Paul London and Brian Kendrick. Number
mm-hmm.
four is Money Incorporated.
Mm-hmm.
Number
two
is Arbitration. And number one is
Demolition.
You're
looking for number five and three.
And number three. Number five. And number three.
Total combined days holding the world tag
total
champion in the modern era.
In the modern era. Well, I'm trying to, because I'm now eliminating in my head things, guys like the Strike Force, right, that were one-time reigns, because at
mm-hmm.
this point it's going to take multiple championship reins to do it. And you're not, you don't, you're going to eliminate guys like the Brain Busters and like the Colossal Connection that were, you know, Flash Event. You know, and then you eliminate some of the other teams like, you know, the Bushwhackers and the Rouges that never held the titles. So I'm just trying to think in for number five, is it possible that, I'm thinking it's one of those early 90s kind of teams like a la, I would either say the Steiner Brothers or the Natural Disasters.
No.
It's not either one of them.
These guys aren't, it is not an early 90s team. I'll throw that out there.
We're talking total days, too.
Yeah.
So could it be the Hardy Boys?
No.
Are they on, they're not on the list either,
no.
Right? Because I'm just thinking they, again, had multiple, Edge and Christian?
No.
And it would, and the Dudley Boys,
no.
With their,
all of
them
were
funny?
Because they're, we think of them, and they all had multiple reigns. They're flip flopping that.
Well, that's
so
just
often,
it. I just think
none of them had a long enough reign. Of those three, I don't know the facts for sure,
mm-hmm.
but I'd be willing to bet strongly that Edge and Christian held it the most days.
Yeah, I just think it's funny that when you talk about the Dudley Boys and they always going up with their 20, you know, reigns and all the titles, probably 10 of those are WWF titles,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't even meet the Paul London. What
no.
How about, oh shit, what about Hurricane and Rosie?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Because they had
closer to the era.
Cade and Murdoch?
No.
Okay, because I'm just thinking there was that period where they held the titles, but the titles kind of disappeared, yet they were still the champions, you know what I mean? Closer to the era. And,
do you want a hint?
How about the Guerreros?
No.
World's Greatest Tag Team?
No. You want a hint?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give you, do you want a hint for number three or number five?
Number five. Let's do number five. Number three I should be able to get.
One of them has been out of the company for about a year. Another one is still with the company.
Out of the company for about a year. The other one still with the company. Is it Eminem?
No. Close.
Close to Eminem.
Very close.
Very close. Is it
now? Who in Eminem is
LOL.
Currently in? Who in Eminem is currently in the WWE? I'd love to fucking know.
Joey Mercury. He's a trainer.
Oh, that doesn't count. Come on.
I don't even know if that's true. He was on the Punk DVD. There you go. Somebody's still with the company. I mean, it's not Edge and Christian.
No. One is left about a year ago.
Left about a year ago. Just up and left.
Yes. Up and left about a year ago.
Is it Booker T and Goldust?
No.
Oh.
The other one is still with the company.
Yeah, Booker T is.
As an active champion.
Oh, a champion. Okay, well, it's not Punk. It's not Sheamus. It's,
Oh, God.
Is it Nathan Morrison?
Fucking right it is.
Yeah, okay.
360 days. So about 23 days more than Kendrick and London.
I picture people yelling at their computers.
Now,
iPhone.
You remember at all who they beat for these titles? Because this is in the era where, again, they're flipping.
How many times?
And it's not. Let me see. They won the World Tag Team Championship on the Raw brand and the WWE Tag Team Champion on SmackDown.
Did they beat Crime Time? Was Crime Time ever a tag team?
I don't think Crime Time ever was, no.
Okay.
No.
And it wasn't High Energy.
No, it was not High Energy.
High Energy! Yeah. I just wanted to say that. I'm trying to think, who... Ah, fuck. Did they beat... Jesus. When... I'm just trying to think. That whole... Eras, so because it would have been
okay, one of the teams that they beat was a one of those mix and match odd couple teams where their enemies became friends and are both now no longer with the company, and both have seen jail time, though one more recently than the other.
Really? So is it both have seen jail time? Say Jeff Hardy and Jeff Hardy and Rob Van Dam hold the titles
together. Close. MVP and Matt Hardy.
Matt Hardy and MVP, right.
Yeah.
I forgot
so
they...
that's, That's who they beat for the title, reverse title. Now, can you remember they won it back in a four team, or no, they lost in the four team, so we won't talk about that. They regained the title from two people currently still with the WWE. One of them a major champion, another one
CM
going for the
Punk
title.
And Kofi? I do
Punk
remember
right.
when they were the tag team champions. Yeah, right. That was even my next thing. Was
and they lost the title finally to.
Finally.
To one of these guys is gone from the company, the other guy is still in the company in the tag team division.
Tag team action hot and heavy. Was Rey Mysterio one of them?
No.
No? Darren Young?
No.
No.
Colon.
Oh, the Colons. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yes, the Colons. My mistake.
Yes.
All right. Last team.
And now, so we're at number three.
So if Demolition is number one.
With 700 days, the Hart Foundation is number two with.
Yeah.
How many days did we say?
The Hart Foundation had 500 and.
And then number four then.
Something.
Number four was.
Four, 483.
483, and 400 days was number four.
Money Inc. was number four at 400.
Right.
So who could fall between 411 and 483
well, that's
days?
One of them.
You need somebody. And
we need multiple time tag team champions. And that's
if they were champions after Money Inc. was broken up. Like they came after them.
What about Billy and Bart the Smoking Guns?
You're close.
What about that? Is it the Head Shrinkers?
They've been on TV recently.
They've
now
been
where?
The New Age Outlaws?
Fucking right.
Oh, yeah.
How could you have forgotten the New Age Outlaws?
Well, again, because Russo was booking.
Yeah, but holy shit, dude. You were really shitty at this game. They were. The 468 days. How many times did they hold the title?
The New Age Outlaws?
Yeah.
Seven?
Four.
Four, yeah, I know.
No,
I think,
five.
I think
five.
Is it five?
Yeah,
I thought
five.
They said four on the thing, but that doesn't mean it. That was real
okay,
dumb,
can
so.
You remember any of the teams they beat?
Kane and X-Pac?
Nope.
The Legion of Doom. That was their first reign. Was they beat the Legion of Doom, so fuck off.
No.
What?
Nope. Legion of Doom was not champions.
What?
They beat them. They already had the championship.
So did they beat the Godwins for the championship?
All right, I'm just going to say this. Instead of doing
this... It
wasn't
this, the Head Shrinkers.
No, it wasn't. I'm
or the Headbangers.
Instead, we're going to do it this way.
Uh-huh.
They beat Mick Foley for the title four times.
Yeah, they beat Foley and Kane.
Four different partners.
How much wood would a woodchuck chuck if a woodchuck could chuck wood?
That's one.
At the thing. They beat the Rock and Sock Connection.
Yep.
When Foley was just sitting pouting on the apron and never got involved in the match.
That's right.
They would beat Mick Foley and Al Snow, right?
Yes, nice.
In that thing, I think that was when the book was thrown away. And we already said with Kane, right?
Yep.
We already said...
You need one more.
Who the fuck else did Foley team... With. I'm just trying to.
Kane, The Rock, and Al Snow. You're forgetting their WrestleMania match.
Oh, yeah, Chainsaw Charlie. That's right, the dumpster match. That's right, yes.
Yeah, that's right. Terry Funk.
Terry Funk, if you will.
Terry Funk.
And that's all four? They beat Mick Foley for every title reign that they had?
They had one other, but it doesn't even have a listed
age. It was in their first one against the Legion of Doom.
I don't think Legion of Doom was champions. I really don't. But you could be right. We'll have to look it up for the next show, because I'm not looking it up now. Now, I'm going to ask you, just for bonus points again, can you mention, off the top of your head, any teams you think might have been champions in these other four spots in the top ten that were prior to 1985?
Oh. Have I mentioned any before already?
No.
Like, no, really. The Steiner brothers weren't on there, and
all these other teams, like I say, were prior to 1985.
Oh, these are all prior to 1985.
Yeah, all the remaining teams.
Oh, you mean 7 through 10?
Well, no, these guys would technically one of them would be like number two, and one of them would be number five.
Oh.
So I had taken them out, so I'm just wondering.
Would I have heard of these people?
Oh, fuck yes.
Okay, so.
I mean, they were long-term champions in WWF.
What about the
WWE?
Samoans, the Wild
fucking
Samoans?
Fucking good guess. The Wild Samoans were number five.
Okay.
431 days. Of course, they have it three different times they held it.
Yes, okay. This is the Wild Samoans.
Including!
How long did the East-West... not East-West Connection, but Adonis and Murdoch.
Not on the list.
No, okay, because they might have just had the one ring. there. Back when the Morales had a one-day reign, because he got stripped, because he couldn't have both two titles. That would have just been strange.
Yeah, exactly.
How about the Moondogs?
I think that's a damn fine get. I will say this. Mr. Fuji had two different partners.
Yes, Tiger Chung Lee.
What?
Love Tiger Chung Lee. Mr. Saito and Mr. Fuji.
That's one of them.
They had
it for their number 9 on the list. Or
I don't even know who his other partner would have been.
See, that's the thing. He held it with Mr. Saito for 363 days.
Yeah.
And he held it with Professor Tanaka for 569.
Professor Tanaka.
And the other one is another one that if you were watching in 1985 at WrestleMania 1, one of these fellas you would have seen as a manager.
One of these people I would have seen as a... Are we talking about the Valiant Brothers?
Good guess. Yeah. There you go. Jimmy and Johnny Valiant, 370 days.
Okay, because I was also wondering if, how Rick Martel and Tony Garea, they probably would have been in the 200.
Well, Tony Garea was... he was... What is 7-time tag team champion?
Something that way, yeah.
Back in the era when people didn't hold the belts generally that often, and he held it with different partners all the time. 7-time tag team champion. He's still there as an agent, isn't he? Producer?
I don't think so.
Is he in the Hall of Fame? He must be.
I don't think so. No.
So, but Tony Garea was, one of those guys who was, you know, like Mick Foley, apparently.
Yes.
Different partners.
No one could stand him for that long. But no, that's a good game. We should try that.
Which, if that was the case, then why am I still doing this with you after a year?
Mm-hmm. I know. I keep hoping you're going to rise above.
That one took a little bit from your brain, so I liked it. It was good.
I know.
It was a little challenging. Usually when I play a game with you, you fucking just blow past and remember everything.
Well, when you tell me
the thing that you remember the most was back in 1985, 1986.
I know.
1987. What, no, probably 87, 89. 87 through 90. I'd say that was the era where you could sit there and literally say, they won it from these guys, they lost it to these guys.
Yeah.
They won it from these guys, they lost
it. Because it happened every 8 months.
Yeah.
Right? And even then, I could probably do
the 90s. And the belts
with the, yeah, and the belts matter. But even then, with the natural disasters and the... You know, and the Steiner Brothers and the Money Inc. and the Nasty Boys and such like that. I mean, you could still kind of follow along, but again, they'd have those house show title changes too, where it would be like, we have new tag team champions, you know, from the pages of World Wrestling Federation magazine.
Yeah, occasionally that would happen.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and
that's it. All right, we're
high energy, not on the list.
The high energy never won the title.
No.
Mo at We Talk Podcast. Mo, no E on my name, _ We Talk.
That's a long Twitter handle. Mo, no E on my name.
Fucking don't type that part in. Just go Mo,
okay,
_ We Talk.
Okay.
Just still find me.
Hopefully.
Hopefully.
No.
So anyways, that stuff, always looking for games, comments, your mother's phone number.
So you're always looking for gays?
No, games.
Oh.
Games.
Okay.
Ideas. Suggestions, feedback. I am not Pat Patterson.
Okay. Push it and pull it.
Wee-wee.
It is. Wee-wee.
You pushing and pulling, I go banana.
You go banana. Anyway, Addy, A-D-D-I-E.
You're doing your
Addy, yeah, A-D-D-I-E at WeTalkWrestling.com is my email. We're at WeTalkWrestling on Twitter. Yes, Stitcher, iTunes, you know, like us, provide valuable feedback on iTunes would be excellent. Leave a comment there.
Yeah, hit the Facebook like button. We have a Facebook page. Hit that.
Yeah. Pretend it's Mo's mom.
Hit that. Yeah, no, any social media buttons on our page, spread the word. We appreciate it. Hey, you know what else? You got a blog up that's actually pretty fucking good this last couple of days here. You got a really nice one.
Bigger Douche.
Yeah. No, your
Bigger Douche.
Observer newsletter one was awesome.
Excellent. Bigger Douche, Hulk Hogan or Shawn Michaels?
Yeah.
There was no sort of things to write about there.
And my Paul Heyman blog's a little mini biography on him.
That is very nice, yes. Yeah. Is he genius or clever? And you go through from start to finish, you know,
his
Paul
career.
Heyman and then how, you know, really how long his career is spanned. A lot of people don't know. I mean, when he said to Vince McMahon, I've known you since I was 14. Like,
yeah,
that's
exactly.
All true. I mean, so,
exactly.
And then you go through, you know, all of his career.
At
so that one's good, too.
Yeah, he's like 44 now or something like that.
I think he's 50. something.
No, I don't think so.
No?
No, I don't think so.
You think he did his 50th
He was, let me see. He was, when he took over ECW, would it be 1994?
About that, yeah?
Yeah, and he was 27.
Okay.
So that's
that would have been 94, but 20 years ago almost. Well, I figure 18 years ago. So he'd be 45, yeah. 45. So there you go.
There you go.
Wow.
So if he's 22 years younger than Vince McMahon and far more on the pulse of society. What a surprise.
If every year that he was on
he
Earth
is, isn't he? Yep.
Was a minute,
yep.
Greg Valentine would just be warmed up.
That's true. That's true. Actually, think about it. If he's 45, how old is Shawn Michaels and Triple H?
Yeah, no kidding. Really. I mean, and think, I mean, and you can't tell because he ages so well. How old is Stone Cold E.T.?
Yeah, and you can't tell because he ages so poorly. How old is Rob Van Dam?
Yes, I know. He looks the same as he did in Ghostbusters, though.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's going to do it for yet another week here.
Did you?
So, well, another week, but we're going to be back for about 4 hours.
iPad here, Android. Find us. Listen to us. It'll be the best thing you can
well,
do.
You know what?
Actually, you're probably fucking listening to us if you heard this.
If you heard that, yes, that's what I was going to say. We may have mission accomplished.
Woohoo! High five!
You know
let's
what?
Let's not do that.
No. You know what? If you can reach one. But, all right, that's going to do it for this week. So in the meantime, and in between time, that's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night,
fist bump,
folks.
Fist bump?
Leave me alone.